This is the Sun Life Patriots postgame show with Adam Jones.
Brady takes the snap, back to throw, gets rid of it down the field. Caught, 20-yard line, 30, 35, 40, down the left sideline. He's going to go the distance, a 99-yard touchdown play.
The Sun Life Patriots postgame show is your source for instant news and reaction following every Patriots game.
The Patriots are Super Bowl champions.
Join the conversation by calling the Ace Ticket Hotline at 508-298-0398 or email the show at webradio@patriots.com. Now, live from the Subway Fresh Broadcast Studios inside Gillette Stadium, here's your host, Adam Jones.
Welcome into the Subway Fresh Broadcast Studios inside Gillette Stadium. Patriots fall to the Seattle Seahawks 24-23. In a game that I think defies words and, you know, really defies at least what we've seen for a long period of time out of this Patriots team. Typically, you're used to seeing New England close these type of games out or, you know, maybe get a turnover or some poor quarterback play on the other side. But I don't know. I don't know that we've seen someone like Russell Wilson come down and beat this Patriots defense in the past. You know, we've seen Eli Manning do it. You know, we've seen quality quarterbacks do it. I don't know that we've seen someone like Russell Wilson do it. That, to me, should be eye-opening for Patriots fans. When you're talking about this defense, this secondary, which had another atrocious day, which we'll get to momentarily here on the Sun Life Patriots postgame show. Adam Jones with you here on Patriots.com. That has to be eye-opening for Patriots fans. How bad the secondary played today. And again, this wasn't Eli Manning. You know, this wasn't Ben Roethlisberger going up and down the field on you last year, Peyton Manning the week before. This was Russell Wilson, who looked awful to start the second half and came out, and the Seahawks, on their final few drives, went five plays, 83 yards, 10-yard touchdown pass to Braylon Edwards, where Alphonso Dennard did his best Devin McCourty impression in the end zone, couldn't find the football. So touchdown Edwards, that was set up, by the way, by a 51-yard play by Golden Tate, where Devin McCourty just completely lost him. Two drives later, so the last drive, Seahawks come down, four plays, 57 yards, go in front on a 46-yard touchdown to Sidney Rice, where the two safeties, Tavon Wilson, who's playing because Steve Gregory's out, and Nate Ebner, who's playing because Pat Chung is out, so there are some injuries there, but you can't get more wide open than Sidney Rice got there. And it was set up, by the way, on a 26-yard punt return by Leon Washington, where special teams fell apart. So all the time, and it is a cliche, Bill Belichick talks about the, you know, the three facets of the game. They let you down in this one, all three facets. The Patriots offense went completely and totally invisible at the end of this one. They were leading 23-10. You're up 13 in the fourth quarter, just 6 points in the second half. The offense didn't score. Defense couldn't stop anyone. And special teams, when you needed them, let you down on that punt return by Leon Washington. Sun Life Patriots postgame show. Adam Jones with you here inside Gillette Stadium on Patriots.com. We'll take your phone calls, 508-298-0398. Your emails go to webradio@patriots.com. Patriots fall to 3-3, by the way. I said before the year, I think the over-under in Vegas on the Pats was like 13 wins, 12.5, 13 wins, something like that. I thought that was the biggest no-brainer in football, that the Patriots would win 13 games this year. They got to win out to do that. So I never thought we'd be sitting here. I thought they were going to blow the doors.
Losing two games to the AFC West.
I thought they were going to blow the doors off Seattle. You know, Arizona, I think, is a better team than what the Patriots just played. You know, I was more sold that the Cardinals could hang with the Patriots even on the road than I was with this Seattle team. Their quarterback play is so bad. And that has to be the number one takeaway for me, is how bad their quarterback was. And he was able to lead a game-winning drive against you. It's ain't Eli Manning. We're not talking an elite quarterback or a very good quarterback. We're talking a rookie, six games into his career, who coming into the day today had thrown more picks than touchdowns. That's who just led a game-winning drive against you. He threw for almost 300 yards and three scores today against your secondary. That should tell you all you need to know about the secondary. Get to your phone calls here momentarily, but first let's start the post-game show as we do each and every week with the good, the bad, and the injured.
Now it's time for the good.
Nice!
The bad.
You don't talk to me, all right? Knock it off!
And the injured.
I've fallen, and I can't get up.
On the Sun Life Patriots postgame show with Adam Jones.
Not going to lie, even when it was 23-10 or whatever it was early on in the second half, I was struggling to come up with good aspects of this game for the Pats. Even when it was 23-10 in the fourth quarter, I think Wes Welker was a clear one in this 24-23 loss. 138 yards, 10 more catches. That touchdown was a thing of beauty, right? 46 yards out, great throw by Brady. I thought better catch by Welker. But I thought that was an impressive, impressive day from Welker, especially given some of the shots he took out there on the field. He is head and shoulders above the rest for me. By the way, 100th straight game with a touchdown, with a catch rather, for Welker, and his fourth straight 100-yard game. He's the first receiver for the Patriots to do that since Randy Moss in 2007. I thought he was a clear standout performer in this one. Chandler Jones, I thought, was up there as well, though it's hard to really give too much credit to anyone on the defense the way that game finished, but Chandler Jones, two sacks, forced fumble. He was unblockable at times. I think he has to be on the good list as well. I thought those two guys were pretty clear. I had trouble coming up with a third one, and I finally settled on Aaron Hernandez. Six catches, 30 yards. Did get a score on that one-yard fade in the back of the end zone, and I don't think he was 100% healthy either. So the fact that he came out and gave you something deserves a spot on the good list, in my view. So
he's jumping at a couple points.
There's your three good ones. Welker, Jones, and Hernandez. What was that, LePan?
He came limping off the field a couple times.
Yeah, and look, so did Gronkowski, so did Welker, and so did Hernandez. Patriots had some offensive weapons gutting this one out. I'll give him credit for that. And I think Hernandez, working his way back from that injury, deserves some credit. So he's on the good list. Bad list. It was tough to keep it to three. And again, this is before this game started getting out of hand. I think the first number one thing, and some of it is injury related, since Pat Chung left with a shoulder injury, but the number one thing, your safety play has been awful. Awful. And it wasn't just today. It's been bad. You know, Pat Chung was on my bad list before he got hurt. And then I just changed it to the blanket of safety play. Pat Chung, two pass interference calls in this one. One was declined. The other was on a 51-yard play. 51 yards. That wide receiver pass from Sidney Rice. So that's what you're looking at today out of Pat Chung. So those were his two plays. You also had that awful touchdown by Rice at the end of the game where I don't know if it was Wilson or Ebner. I just put it on both of them. Completely fell asleep. Like, how do you fall asleep on the potential go-ahead score? 46 yards where both your safeties are out there and have no clue what they're doing. Whatever Nate Ebner showed in the preseason, he can't be out on the field. You know, I know Sterling Moore was out there a little bit as a safety. I'd feel much better with that. Throw Dowling back there. Ebner can't be back there. I think, in general, Wilson played okay. That was a bad play. He had one big pass breakup on a 3rd and 20. I think in general, Wilson was okay. Ebner can't be out on the field. That was awful. That's how you lost the game. So your safeties are at the top of the bad list. I also had Kyle Arrington on the list. Anytime you get benched for Alphonso Dennard, who again, outside of the touchdown pass to Edwards, I thought played all right. Seemed like he was competitive, usually in tight coverage. Didn't locate the football on that play, but that was a nice throw from Wilson. Back shoulder to Edwards. It was right on the sideline. He gave up the touchdown. I didn't think it was the worst play in the world. But Arrington just getting torched on back-to-back plays by Doug Baldwin deserved to be benched. 48 yards and then a 24-yard touchdown. Get on the bench. So he was bad today. I thought needed to single him out from the rest of the secondary. This is one we don't usually say when we come in at the end of games, especially when the opposing coach is Pete Carroll. I think there were some awful coaching decisions in this one. And that's the third thing on my list, coaching. At the end of the first half, there were back-to-back drives where I had a bigger problem with what they did on the second-to-last one. I think I'm in the minority here, at least I put it out on Twitter. When they settled for that Gostkowski field goal from 25 yards out on 4th and 1, I thought that was weak. Go for the first down there. You are moving the football. You're already up. What was it? 14-10 at that point.
But who thought Russell Wilson could bring them back?
Well, I mean,
the more points you score, the harder it'll be for them to score.
Well, it's a fair point, which is why the next drive was a little confusing, because they played it safe on the second-to-last drive of the half, and then they're going for touchdowns at the end of the half, which I would have done as well. I would have gone for it with 6 seconds left. That's more Brady making a mistake, or receivers not getting open, or the offensive line, or whatever it is. That was more a physical mistake than a coaching decision. I would have gone for it with 6 seconds left as well. But that grounding by Brady killed you, because that's 3 more points you left on the field, and you would have won if you had those 3 points. So I was perplexed by the end of the half. I was perplexed that the Patriots were out of timeouts. How'd that happen? How'd you run out of timeouts in the second half? The last one was because he had 12 guys on the field. And the final issue for coaching, where were the adjustments in the second half? Patriots scored 6 points. Six in the second half. That is a win for the Seattle coaching staff. The fact that they were able to limit the Patriots in the second half, and the fact the Patriots left a lot out on the field, that to me goes back to coaching. So my three bad, safety play, Arrington, and coaching, especially in that second half. By the way, the injured for the Patriots. Pat Chung left with a shoulder injury, didn't return. Brandon Bolden left with a knee injury, didn't return. And we'll get to the Patriots' running game, or lack thereof, coming up in a little bit. Brandon Lloyd, I didn't see him return. I could have missed him, but after he laid out on the sideline, which would have been just an incredible catch, and, you know, his shoulder came down on the sideline, he's out of bounds, he did catch it, I didn't see him come back in. So I'll throw him on the good list as well. That's something that bears watching. LePan, you said to me right when he did it, separated shoulder, it looks like he hurt his shoulder or something like that. It looked bad.
Yeah,
so
the way he came down, his arm was still stretched out, and you know, you see a lot of guys land like that, and it, you know, they either break a collarbone, they separate a shoulder. Hopefully it's none of those things, but
it looked bad. So I made a note of it. I didn't see him come back in. I didn't see him come back in. So that's why I threw him down on there. Anyway, Sunlight Patriots postgame show. Adam Jones with you here on Patriots.com. We are live from our Subway Fresh broadcast studios inside Gillette Stadium. You can give us a call. Ace Ticket Hotline, 508-298-0398. Your emails go to webradio@patriots.com. Taking your thoughts on this 24-23 loss to the Seattle Seahawks. I think the number one, you know, above all else, thing that jumps out, we've seen the secondary blow games before. We've seen them struggle before. I've never seen it against Russell Wilson or his ilk coming down the field and lighting you up at the end of the game. That would scare me. I was worried about the secondary, but when it's Russell Wilson coming down, that feels a lot different to me. Let's hit these phone calls, 508-298-0398. Brandon's in California. He's been waiting patiently. You'll kick things off here on Patriots.com. What's up, Brandon?
Yeah, how's it going, Adam?
Good, man. That was a tough one.
Yeah, well, all right, my thing is, all right, we threw the ball 60 times, right,
mm-hmm.
around there. All right, we need a first down. Oh, let's run the ball when we only have, like, 30 yards.
Right.
Yeah, let's do that, you know.
I said, and that's another one you can add to the list, I did not think this was the greatest coaching day. By the way, I didn't think it was Brady's best day. I almost put him on the bad list. Brady threw it a ton. Clearly, that was something the coaching staff wanted. Career high in pass attempts for Brady, 58. Threw for almost 400 yards. He only had two picks. I think he could have more with some of the decision-making he had. So I didn't think it was his strongest day either, Brandon.
Yeah, and also I think he got sacked, and you could see the frustration on his face. He threw something at the sideline. You know, it's just crazy how we struggle so much on the rushing game this game, and all of a sudden you want to go to it when you need it the most. You know, it's, I don't know, Josh McDaniels, is it him or is it Belichick, but one of them guys get their stuff together before, you know, this get out of hand.
All right, and Brandon, thanks for the phone call. 508-298-0398. I say coaching, but, like, I don't know, throwing for a while looked all right. Like, I didn't really have a problem with the play calling at any point. Like, maybe at the end of the game when you're trying to run it out, you can nitpick a little bit. I don't really think this is a McDaniels thing. I feel like this is more a Belichick thing today, to be honest. You screw up the timeouts, that's the head coach. You don't go for it on a fourth down, but then you go for it with 6 seconds left at the end of the half, and your team takes an intentional grit. You leave points on the—that's on the head coach, it's not on the offensive coordinator. And I don't know, some of those second half adjustments, I don't think they were all offensive for the Patriots. And again, some of it was injuries with the safeties, some of it was, but Ebner and Wilson have to make better plays on that bomb to Sidney Rice. And I just felt like there weren't adjustments there on either side of the football. So I'm not going to say it's the offensive coordinator. This to me feels like Bill. You know, this feels like Belichick. And rarely do we come in here and say, well, Belichick got outcoached. That's how this feels to me. And it's unbelievable because the guy on the other side is Pete Carroll. 508-298-0398. Your emails go to webradio@patriots.com. You'll hear from the Patriots head coach, Bill Belichick, coming up here in about 20 minutes on the Sun Life Patriots postgame show. We'll also get to quarterback Tom Brady in a little under an hour. You can get in touch until that point. Let's go to Kavrin, if I'm saying that right, in Gainesville, Georgia. What's going on?
Hey, Adam. Hey, everybody. What I don't understand is how we can be so bad in the secondary. I feel like the only defensive back that we have that is competitive is Denard. And I know he got the pass interference call in the end zone, but I really feel like that could have gone either way. But I feel that we are.
Hang on for a second, and I'll let you finish your point. But I mean, the guy caught the pass anyway, so I didn't even chalk up the pass interference call. It's like he still hauled in the pass. I got on Dennard more for not locating the football, not turning around, than I did for the pass interference.
Yeah. Well, and what the point I was about to make was, what I don't understand is why. I mean, we are so good at chasing wide receivers down the field. McCourty chases, yep. Arrington chases. I mean, what's happening at the line of scrimmage that causes them to get beat so bad off the line? I mean, it's not like they're even. I mean, I don't know if they're not playing press coverage. I don't really understand what the problem is.
Well, I'll tell you what it is with Arrington, at least. Is he gets caught on those play action passes. Like it happened last week, and I'm trying to remember who the touchdown was last week. But, you know, he gave up a short touchdown where he just got caught looking in the backfield on a play action. And it happened again today. So I don't know. I think he totally deserves to get benched, just like I totally thought Sterling Moore deserved to get benched before. And I agree. I think Dennard's outplayed those guys when he's been on the field.
Yeah. And I don't know if Brady made the bad list today, but I feel that Brady's got to go on the bad list.
So I didn't put him on there.
It's a combination of Brady and McDaniels or what, but the end of the first half, completely terrible. And then I think that the drive where we threw the interception down in the red zone,
yep.
We run the ball two times before that,
well,
and then we're looking at third and one, and then we throw it, and it's a pick. I mean, why not continue to run the ball?
Yeah, I look at it and I kind of say, and thanks for the phone call, Cavern. I look at it and those picks were both on Brady. Those were horrible throws, both of them. The second one especially was 10 feet over, I think it was Woodhead. I thought it was Welker seeing it live, but I went back and looked. I believe it was actually intended for Woodhead. Awful passes by Tom Brady. He didn't make the bad list, but that's only because I wanted to separate Arrington from the safeties. I thought Arrington was that bad, but you could have done it this way. I went on my bad list, safety play, Arrington, coaching decisions. You could have easily done secondary coaching decisions, Brady. I thought he was poor. And I know it sounds weird when you look at 400 yards and a couple of passing touchdowns. The reason I would leave him off that list is because I think he was so good in the first half, and that's when the Patriots were up. I think it's hard to completely take that out and not consider that. The reason they were up in the first place is because of how well Brady played. That's why I gave him a bit of the benefit of the doubt. But when push came to shove, he threw some awful picks at the end of the game. Also took two groundings. One killed you. You ran 10 seconds off in the first half. The other was on your next to last drive. That's not a good day at your quarterback. 508-298-0398. Your emails go to webradio@patriots.com. That's where Kevin writes in. Adam, just wanted to chime in before everyone blames the defense. Sure, the defense gave up the game-winning drive, but I pinned this loss squarely on the back of Tom Brady. Just because he's great doesn't mean he's beyond reproach. He had several chances to put this game away, and he failed again.
Sucks but me.
When's the last time Brady won a game in the fourth quarter? This is just plain disgusting. And again, that's Kevin writing in from High Point, North Carolina. I don't think he played well today. The last one I can definitively remember, and I haven't gone back and looked at all these, but one that always sticks out in my head, and I know I mentioned it on the show last week or 2 weeks ago, whatever it was the one against the Cowboys here last year. That was a game that Brady won. So that was about a year ago, right? I don't know if he's done one since. But that's the last one that I can remember, that Brady came down and led you on a game-winning drive.
Exactly 1 year ago, week six last year.
So I understand what he's saying. Like, the offense needs to put the game out of reach, and I do agree with that. I'm not saying the offense deserves no blame, but two of those last three drives, listen to this. It's not like the Seahawks put together sustained drives. Five plays, 83 yards. Five plays, 83 yards. Four plays, 57 yards. So, you know, to me, that's no resistance whatsoever from your defense. We're not talking 7, 8, 9 play drive. We're talking 4 and 5 plays. They go right down the field. So I understand what you're saying. I disagree with the point. I can't blame the offense more than the defense in this one. Not when it's Russell Wilson on the other side. If it were Eli or Peyton or Rodgers or Breeze or Roethlisberger, fine. I understand. I give the defense a little bit of slack. It's a quarterback's league. Those are good quarterbacks. I'll cut you a little slack. I'm not doing that against Russell Wilson. I'm sorry. 508-298-0398. Let's go to Phil in Pennsylvania. You're next up here on the Patriots postgame show. Hey, Phil.
Hey. Hey, Adam. How are you doing?
Doing well, man.
This is a very frustrating loss to me. We basically had a chance to come away with a win multiple times, and we missed so many opportunities to score. I just really don't understand the coaching decisions in this game as well.
Yeah, I thought they were disappointing. And look, I don't want to come in here and, you know, always hammer away at the coach. And I know this is the second time I've questioned some decision-making. I thought after the Cardinals game it was bad. It was like, where were the adjustments in the Arizona game? And I feel the same way in this one. Where were the – you got 6 points in the second half? Some of that is your quarterback leaving points on the field with interceptions. I get that. But 6 points? Six? Where are the adjustments? How do you run out of timeouts? How'd you bungle the end of the first half? And I again, everyone's going to go to the drive right before the half where Brady took the intentional grounding. I thought the drive before was worse. I thought not going for it on fourth down was just so casual and just so safe. And I hate that. Fourth and one at the 20, go get it. You're moving the football at will.
Yeah, and they even huddled together and they were talking about it for a little while before the commercial break. So I don't know why they didn't go for it, but I don't know. I don't know how we're going to like beat any of the other top-tier quarterbacks, because we have a game against the 49ers, too. And how are we going to beat them when we can't beat Russell Wilson, the Seahawks?
Well, it's a fair point. I will say San Francisco did not look great today. And, Phil, thanks for the phone call. 508-298-0398. Giants hammered them in San Fran. Hammered them. I don't know how they're going to fare against them. I would have said before, there's no chance I can envision Alex Smith going on a game-winning drive against you, but, you know, I feel a little differently about it after watching Russell Wilson march it right down your throat. 508-298-0398. Your emails go to webradio@patriots.com. That's where John writes in. Adam, I continually state change the secondary. It's killing me. Patriots are now 3-3. It's a joke. Pats have no more hunger. I stated 5 weeks ago the Pats will go 10-6 and miss the playoffs. Time for wholesale changes. And again, John writing in to webradio@patriots.com. I don't feel the whole sale changes thing is necessary, but he might be right about the 10-6 thing. Like that, I'm starting to rethink. Even when the Patriots lost back-to-back games to Arizona and Baltimore, I still thought they could win 13. Like, I thought they could rip off whatever it would have been. 10 of their next 11? Or I guess going back to week 3, 12 of their next 13? Like, I thought they could have done that. And I don't know, if the Patriots go and win all but one more game for the rest of the year, I still wouldn't be shocked. But I'd start lending some credence to anyone who thinks they're going to go 10-6. And guess what? The whole division's tied now. Miami won today. Jets won today. Bills won. Whole division's 3-3. So all of a sudden, you know, you got a big game coming up against the Jets next week. Not that I want to look too far ahead to that. And you have New York here. I think the Patriots will beat New York. But all of a sudden, that's a game that's taken on some added significance. You know, Jets looked okay today against Indy. They blew them out. It's the Colts, but they blew them out. So all of a sudden, that's a big game looming at the end of the week. 508-298-0398. Emails go to webradio@patriots.com. That's where Warren writes in. Adam, what was eye-opening is that it's been like this for 18 months. Whoever coaches and coordinates this defense needs to be fired. Where is the defensive genius we have in Bill? Last seen 2 years ago at best. And again, that's Warren writing in from London to webradio@patriots.com. Some of it's who you have back. I mean, some of it is personnel, and Belichick picks them, but I'm not so sure that it's scheme totally. At the end of the day, you still only gave up 24 points. So when you're talking big picture, situationally it was bad. But when you're talking big picture, I don't know, 24 points, and some came on that last drive, for most of the game, you had held Seattle's offense down. Fell apart in the fourth quarter. I think scheme, they were okay. I think this is more players. Like, I don't sit here and say it was a bad defensive scheme. I know I've questioned some of the coaching decisions. I think that's more offensive. Like, where were the adjustments? How'd you screw up the timeouts? How'd you screw up the possessions at the end of the first half? But most of the defensive struggles, I think, is personnel. And that secondary, I've been telling you guys for weeks, every week on this show, every week, I come in and I have someone on the bad list. Every single week. People have thought I've been too hard on Devin McCourty before, or too hard on Pat Chung, or too hard on whomever in the secondary, especially some of the games the Patriots win, and I come in and say, well, these guys are still getting toasted. That happened again today. Your personnel in your secondary just isn't that good. And maybe Dennard's the difference. Like, maybe he'll stick in the base defense and him and McCourty will be enough. But now all of a sudden you're going to be worried about the safeties. Gregory didn't play. Chung, shocker, is hurt again. So what are you going to do on that back end? And the answer is not Ebner. The answer is not Ebner. He struggled on special teams, and he struggled on the back end. I thought in the preseason he looked good as a safety. But the Patriots were doing some vanilla stuff against backups. And when he's gotten out there on the field, he's been burned a couple of times defensively. At the end of the Bills game, it was a blowout situation. I don't know how many are paying attention at that point. But got toasted on a touchdown at the end of the game. He can't see the field as a safety. He can't. And I know today is different. Injuries lined up, and that's why he had to get out on the field. But you have to put Sterling Moore back there as a safety. Try Rozai Dowling back there as a safety. Sign someone off the street. He can't play back there. Your safety play has been atrocious. And the fact that you lose Pat Chung and that's a bad thing makes it worse. Because I don't think Chung's play has been great, and I cited that earlier. Two bad pass interference calls today. 508-298-0398. Let's go to Al in New Jersey. You're next up here on the Sun Life Patriots postgame show. What's up, Al?
Yeah, hey, this one hurt. A lousy quarterback, was he ranked like 29th? Was there any? Did we have anybody playing the secondary today? What was going on there? You know, here's something else,
yep,
too. They have to, for some reason, they're not finishing off the game. With the Ravens, they had a two-score lead. They didn't finish them off. Today, a two-score lead, they seem to get passive. And someone had said earlier, they're running plays where they should be passing. There was no way they were getting the yards on the ground today. And I didn't understand why they kept going back to it. They were protecting him, so why didn't he just keep throwing it? And I know he threw 60 times or so, but the running game was not working. In this secondary, I keep saying McCourty's going to be okay. He's going to be okay. I want to tell you something. This game hurts. And I live in New Jersey, and I have to go to work tomorrow and hear all the Jet fans. And the only thing I could hope for and go to sleep and dream about is maybe they can stomp on the Jets next week. Thanks for taking my call.
Yeah, and Al, I apologize that you got to go to work with all the Giants and Jets fans here this week. But thanks for the phone call, 508-298-0398. I honestly, didn't think McCourty was as bad as a lot of other parts in the secondary, which says something, because when you're giving up, 51-yard completions or whatever that was that he gave up, that says something. The Tate, 51-yarder. That was McCourty defending that. Nice play there. I think that tells you something. I thought him and Dennard were significantly better than everyone else, but they still gave up plays. McCourty gave up that play to Tate. Dennard gave up the touchdown to Edwards. They were on the same drive. But I just thought the other parts of the secondary was so bad. Arrington to the point where he got benched, and rightfully so. They benched Sterling Moore the week before. They benched Arrington this week. Good for them. Those guys, the way they were playing, don't deserve to stay out on the field. Now, I've said I wouldn't mind seeing Sterling Moore in a safety spot over Nate Ebner. That tells you how bad Ebner's been. And look, there's a reason he didn't get on the field on defense at Ohio State. There's a reason. He showed it today. And it wasn't an ideal circumstance. It's sort of like, what was the game last year, LePan? Was it the Giants game where, like, Tracy White's out there at the end of the game trying to cover Ballard, and Sergio Brown's playing safety because, they're trying to guard Manningham or Cruz or whomever it was, and he gets a killer pass. This is sort of what that game feels like because there are injuries. But, I don't know, good teams have guys step up, and that's not what happened today.
There's just no – for the past year and a half, there's been no depth. If someone goes down, it's the end of the world.
You know what? I actually think the comparison to the Giants game last year isn't a bad one. It's like the Patriots were winning. Their defense gave up a big drive at the end of the game. This one is on the road instead of at home, but the quarterback's freaking Russell Wilson. Like, that would be the big difference for me. It's like, okay, you were beating the Giants in that one and you gave up a score. It sucks, but you can wrap your head around that and you can swallow that one and say, you know what? It's a good quarterback on the other end and we got beat by this is a rookie in his sixth game, who's been atrocious before you made him look great today. This one would sit heavy. The previous caller from New Jersey said this one hurts, and you can hear it in callers' voice. Like, this is not another run-of-the-mill loss for the Patriots. This isn't Eli Manning beating you on the last drive. This isn't going into Pittsburgh and getting your doors blown off. This is Russell Wilson leading a game-winning drive against you. This one feels different. It feels worse than it should. Let's go to Joe in Pennsylvania. You're next up here on the Sun Life Patriots postgame show. Hey, Joe.
Hi, how you doing, Adam?
Doing well.
You seem to be making a lot of statements in regards to the coaching. I feel like you can just throw jump balls up, and those plays will you know, get 50 or 60 yards. If not a completion, it's a penalty.
Well, I will say, Joe, I have been critical of the coaching, but I said earlier, not really for the defense. Like, I don't think it's the defensive scheme. I think it's personnel, which I think you're getting at here, Joe. If you can just lob up a play 51 yards to Golden Tate and he's going to come down with it, I don't think that's coaching either. I agree with that.
And, you know, the second half, you know, I don't know if they refused to blitz, but it didn't seem like they were putting any pressure on Russell Wilson either. And towards the end of the game, with some of the screen plays, they were making 12, 15 yards.
Yep.
And it just didn't seem like the play calling was the best. I don't care. They should run out the clock, of course, but with our running game today, they could have just ran a few more screen passes because it did seem to be working. And it. Another thing is the Cardinals, the Ravens, and the Seahawks games, we just don't play the fourth quarter. And, I mean, I'm a diehard Patriot fan, and Tom Brady is not finishing games.
Well,
and I know that's like a common theme that has been talked about on your show for the last three, or the three losses at least.
Yeah, and Joe, and thanks for the phone call. When I said that, you know, I don't think the offense was as big an issue, it doesn't mean that I don't give them any of the blame in this one. Like, of course they deserve blame. I just think when you're cutting it up and you're looking back at this thing, how are we going to remember it? The way the game the offense didn't finish, or the game where Russell Wilson came down and beat your defense? I'm going to look at it the second way. However, it doesn't mean that our last caller and other callers and emailers who have brought this up are incorrect. I mean, the offense has to close out the game. The special teams can't let Leon Washington rip off a 24-yard punt return. Like, special teams, the coverage has been pretty good all day. But guess what? When you needed a stop, Leon Washington leaked out and gave Russell Wilson a short field. He scrambled on the first play of that final drive. Four plays later, they're in the end zone. Okay? Because Wilson and Ebner just completely fell asleep on the back end. So I'm not saying there's no issues with the offense. They got to close these things out. And the caller's right. This isn't new. This happened in the Arizona game. This happened in the Baltimore game. Those ones felt worse. Like this one, the offense had gotten you up by two touchdowns almost, or two possessions rather, in the fourth quarter. Like they sort of had done their job, and the defense just fell apart at the end of the game. Those other ones, you're in a game, you're trying to put it away, but it's not like you would ever really run away. Maybe the Baltimore game you had. But at least the Arizona one, that one I really felt like the offense had to close it out. I don't feel as strongly about that today. To me, this one was more on the defense. 508-298-0398. Emails go to webradio@patriots.com. That's where Anthony writes in from London. Adam, Bill should get our secondary to watch and rewatch this game about 16 times this week as an example on how to play almost perfect pass defense. I wasn't going to email this as I thought it was a bit harsh at first, but then we lost the game. Love this show, even in defeat. Anthony from London writing it. Does he mean that's how you want to play defense? Or is he talking about Seattle? Maybe he's talking about the Seattle defense. I don't think this is how you want to play defense, regardless. And maybe I'm misunderstanding the email. I don't think that's how you want to play defense. I thought McCourty and Dennard were better than their counterparts in the secondary. But that's the winner in a slow race. Let's go to Matt in Charlotte, North Carolina. You're next up at 508-298-0398. Hey, Matt.
Hey, guys. Thanks for having me on. I feel the same as everybody else. I have the same concerns that's been going on for how long now? And my big question is what can we possibly do? What personnel changes can we make, and who is out there to help us out?
Well, I mean,
looking real good.
What more personnel changes can you make? I mean, hopefully you get Hightower back. I mean, that's something that I would hope for. Hopefully you get your guys back at safety, but I don't think they were great before. Like, I don't think Gregory and Chung were a great combination, but they're better than what you had out there at the end of the game. Anyway, I would say hopefully you get Hightower back, and hopefully Dennard continues to look okay. I know he was out there at the end when the Patriots defense got beat, but I think he was an obvious improvement over Arrington, and I think he was an improvement the week before over Sterling Moore. When the coaching staff's given him more playing time, Matt, I think he's looked better. That's the one personnel thing I'd look to besides some health on the defense.
Okay, thanks, man. Hopefully it works out. Thanks, and great show. Thanks,
all right, Matt, thanks for the phone call. 508-298-0398. The Hightower one I do think is bigger because I think he's looked good when he's been out there. I know he's really in your base defense playing half the snaps or whatever it is. He gets in your sub packages a bit. You know, him and Spikes really split those reps, I guess. But I think the Hightower one is an issue. You want him back defensively. But the one thing I can really point to and say, well, this guy's looked like an improvement, is Dennard. But even when Hightower's been out there, they struggled defensively. They did at the end of the Baltimore game. You know, when Gregory and Chung have been out, they were big problems in the Buffalo game. And I thought Chung was bad last week, too. And not to keep singling him out, I just don't think he's played well. I like Pat Chung. You know, we've had him on this show multiple times. I just think for whatever reason, he has been awful in pass coverage. And I feel bad. He had that injury in the game and didn't return. But there have been issues on the back end. So I'd say health-wise, getting Hightower back helps. Just having your starting safeties, who you want out there, helps. Maybe this is a step in the wrong direction for Wilson, somebody I had been calling for more playing time out of. I think on balance he played okay today, but he was out there for a key play at the end of the game. And that's a split for me. You got to go back and watch it, but watching it live, it's those two safeties are the guys chasing down Sidney Rice. It's Chung and it's Ebner. And I guess you hope you go back and you look at the tape and it's Ebner, just so you can feel better about Tavon Wilson's play. 508-298-0398. Your emails go to webradio@patriots.com. Hang on the phone lines. We'll get to you next. We'll hear from head coach Bill Belichick from the podium next here on patriots.com.
It's Jim from Ace Ticket. An exciting Patriots season is here, and Ace Ticket is proud to be the official fan travel partner of the New England Patriots. Ace Ticket is your trusted source. We have the best seats at the lowest prices for all your favorite Boston teams. Ace Ticket is now selling Celtics and Bruins tickets to all games, with free and easy pickup in Kenmore Square or right across the street from Boston Garden. Call 1-800-MY-SEATS or visit aceticket.com.
My name is Terry, and not too long ago, I couldn't tell a first down from a touchdown, a flea flicker from a flea circus. But then, I got NFL Mobile from Verizon. I can watch every Thursday, Sunday, and Monday night NFL game live, right on my smartphone.
Nice call on the game yesterday, Terry.
I told you they couldn't stop the run. Plus, with access to NFL Network, I can watch highlights whenever I want.
Huge fantasy week. How did you know to start Mayo?
Woman's intuition, I guess. And with NFL Red Zone, I won't miss a touchdown on Sunday afternoons.
Up top, T-Mac.
You know it.
Offense is looking good, huh, Terry?
Good? They've been lethal in the red zone, Tim. Lethal. Rookie.
With NFL Mobile on Verizon 4G LTE, no one will know the game better than you. Call *NFL to get it now. Verizon, official wireless provider of the New England Patriots. Airtime, message, and data rates may apply. Available on select smartphones. Coverage not available everywhere. Remember, don't call or text while driving.
Sullivan Tire and Auto Repair is teaming up with Bridgestone Tires for an offer that's going to make you and your family very excited. Now through September 30th, when you buy four select Bridgestone Tires at Sullivan Tire, you could receive a $70 American Express gift card or your very own Wii gaming system the whole family will love. See SullivanTire.com. Offer valid August 27th through September 30th, 2012. Mail-in claim form required. Cards issued by American Express Prepaid Card Management Corporation. Wii systems given away on behalf of Bridgestone America. Nintendo is not affiliated with this promotion. Certain limitations apply.
This is Rob Gronkowski. I get lots of mail from fans asking me how they can be more like me, Gronk. It's easy. First, just head down to Dunkin' Donuts and pick up a freshly made bakery sandwich. Second, get a sweet nickname. Third, bench press 225 pounds 28 times. That's it. You're just like me, Gronk. Now hurry into Dunkin' Donuts and grab a bakery sandwich today. Gronk runs on Dunkin'.
Price and participation may vary. New England Patriots and Patriots and related logos are trademarks of New England Patriots, LLC.
What would make your life better? Start with better banking from Sovereign Bank. More than a checking account, better banking is a package of financial solutions with preferred rates, debit card cash rewards, and online banking with bill pay, along with the flexible options you need to help make your everyday a little easier to manage. And now Sovereign is part of Santander, one of the strongest, safest, and most successful banks in the world. That's what we call better banking. Sovereign Bank. Member FDIC.
Want to be a Patriots season ticket holder? Join the Patriots season ticket holder waitlist and get in the game. Be first in line to purchase Patriots season tickets as they become available and receive exclusive access to the Patriots ticket exchange and other amenities such as access to playoff tickets, Gillette Stadium concert pre-sales, and much more. Get on the list. Get in the game. Visit patriots.com/the list to join today.
I
love.
Love.
Love this card.
With my Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card, I earn more cash back for the things I buy most.
Cash back for the things I buy every day.
I earn 1% cash back on every purchase, everywhere, every time.
2% on groceries.
And 3% on gas. Automatically, no hoops to jump through.
It's as easy as 1, 2, 3.
That's 1% cash back on a cut and color.
2% back on food for the neighborhood barbecue.
And 3% cash back on getting the kids to soccer practice. And football. And baseball.
Extra cash back on groceries and gas. That's my kind of card.
Earn 1, 2, 3% cash back for the things you buy most with the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. Apply online or at a Bank of America near you. Quarterly maximum on grocery and gas bonus rewards. To learn more, go to bankofamerica.com/getcashback.
Finally, a card for the real world.
Copyright 2012 Bank of America Corporation.
Have a hot take on today's game? Hit up Adam on the Ace Ticket Hotline at 508-298-0398 or email him at webradio@patriots.com. Now, back to the Sunlight Patriots postgame show, live from the Subway Fresh Broadcast Studios inside Gillette Stadium. Here's your host, Adam Jones.
On the Sunlight Patriots postgame show, just one email, then we'll get to your phone calls, I promise. Bill writes into webradio@patriots.com. Adam, all I can say about this loss is frustration. This is a totally winnable game, but it looked bad from the second our defense stepped on the field. Good list, definitely Welker, Lloyd, Jones. Interesting, because LePan had Lloyd on there as well. I mean, I thought he had a nice game, but I didn't know that he was so...
I think he's just standing out because...
I think Welker and Jones...
He had two really,
well, here's the thing
really
too.
Good catches.
Here's the thing, too. I even said this off the top. I think Welker and Jones were both obvious. So your third one, whoever it is, I had trouble coming up with a third one. I went Hernandez because he played through an injury and caught a touchdown. I thought played okay and played more than I think any of us expected. I know Bedard had his tweet this morning, 15, 20 plays or whatever out of Hernandez. He had that in the first half. So I don't know. I was impressed with Hernandez today. That's who I went with. But you said Lloyd as well, so I just wanted to point that out. Bad list, you're right. Special teams, defense, the secondary, and Brady. How can we expect to win our later games, looking at the game against the Niners, when we can't even stop Russell Wilson and the Seahawks? That's how I feel about it. And I don't know that Wilson is that much better or worse than Smith. I mean, he's probably worse, but I guess that's a way of me saying I'm not overly impressed with Alex Smith or afraid of Alex Smith, but that's sort of how I feel about it. It's like, if you can't beat Russell, if you can't stop Russell Wilson at the end of the game, then who can you stop? Like, that's sort of how I feel about it. That's the number one overall feeling that I have coming out of this. Like, yeah, the offense needed to do more. Yeah, the coaching was frustrating. And yeah, the special teams gave up a big punt return, and the secondary was bad. But they weren't just bad. They were bad against a rookie quarterback six games in who had thrown more picks than touchdowns coming into this one. Like, that has to be part of the narrative. That's the thing that jumps out the most to me, is that it was Russell Wilson who beat you, not Eli Manning, not someone like that. Sun Life Patriots postgame show here on Patriots.com. Adam Jones with you for 2 hours after this one. Get to your phone calls here, 508-298-0398. Your emails go to webradio@patriots.com. A reminder, Sun Life Financial can help you protect your financial security, whether you're in the game or sideline with an illness or injury. Talk to your employer about Sun Life benefits or visit sunlifeknowsbenefits.com to learn more. Get the benefit, get to know Sun Life. Let's work our way through some of these phone calls. People are waiting patiently. Adam in Maine, you'll kick off this segment here on patriots.com. Hey, Adam.
Hey, how's it going, man?
Doing well.
Listen, the secondary, these guys not turning their head around. A lot of times, with the exception of that last touchdown, we get guys in position to make a play, if not an interception, at least knock the ball down, and they're not turning their heads around. The fans, the most frustrating thing. I mean, these are plays we should make.
Yeah, I mean, I see it the same way. You know, these guys have to be locating the football. They have to turn around for the football. It's constantly these pass interferences. We saw two on Chung where he didn't turn around. You know, McCourty just completely got lost on that play with Tate. I got a tweet about it when I tweeted out that Dennard just doesn't turn around for the football either. He's just like McCourty, and people kind of got on me for it. He turned around at the end, but, like, he turned around way too late. Braylon Edwards, he turned around because Edwards stopped and was going for the football. It's like, you got to catch it before that. So I agree, Adam. Like, that's a big issue with these guys.
Joe mentioned that, throwing the jump ball. It's all the other team has to do. And that cost us the Baltimore game. It cost us tonight. I mean, all they have to do is turn their heads around, at least avoid the flag.
Yeah, and Adam, it's a good point. And it's a good point by the previous caller as well. Thanks for the phone call. 508-298-0398. you can't even stop 51-yard Hail Marys. You know, and that's what they are. I mean, they're not at the end of the half or anything like that, but literally he's just throwing it up and hoping his guy goes and gets it. And there's just, when the ball's in the air, even though it's Russell Wilson throwing to Golden freaking Tate, like, even though that's the situation and that's the personnel, there's no doubt in my mind I thought Tate was going to come down with that football, or Sidney Rice is going to come down with that. Like, those guys are just going to come down with it. That's how I feel about it when I see the ball in the air. By the way, I will say one other thing that did surprise me, and I'll point it out. I didn't say this on the air, LePan, because we weren't on yet, but I thought Seattle scored too fast. I know it's being picky, but Patriots got the ball back with a buck 15 or whatever it was, and I go, what was the first thing I said to you, LePan?
Feel good about this.
They're going to win.
Seattle still had the ball. They were going to lose.
They're going to go win. They have the ball back with a minute 15, and all they did was lose yards, right? But I'll be honest, when the Seahawks scored as quickly as they did, I felt all right about it. Let's go to Clint in Virginia. You're next up here on Patriots.com. Hey, Clint.
Hey, guys. Hope you're doing better than I am right now.
Yeah.
Just two quick things I wanted to touch on.
Sure.
Do you guys think the offensive line is playing better? I mean, we were really worried about that coming into the season. I thought tonight they played pretty well.
Well,
I don't know if I'm just trying to look for something that's not nauseating about this game.
Well, I will say this, Clint. I think this was a big challenge for them, given the ends you're going against, Bruce Irvin and Clemens. I think it's a challenging environment going into a loud stadium. And I think in general they passed the test. But at the end of the game, where you needed to protect Brady, that's where they were at their worst. That's all I'd say. I don't think they were a big issue. It's why I haven't mentioned them yet. But I will say, I think they played their worst when they needed them to really protect Brady at the end of the game.
Yeah, I guess Nate Solder did kind of tackle Brady there at the end. He got his first sack of the year.
It's true.
One of the writers said. And the other thing, I just thought Welker was great. He got nailed on that play. He looked like
nailed.
He was having trouble breathing. He got hurt so bad, and he went right back out there and caught the ball. I mean, that's just... As a Patriots fan, that's something that just felt really good about this game. I don't know. I was really excited about Wes going back out there to catch that ball.
Look,
obviously, it doesn't mean much now, but.
Clint, I agree 1,000%. Thanks for the phone call, and I think you put it well. I've said this before. I still feel this way. And thanks for the phone call, Clint. 508-298-0398. I've said this before, and I feel this way. I totally understand what the Patriots are doing with Welker, and I agree with it. You know, I don't think you needed to give Welker. I don't think you needed to give him a two, three-year extension, whatever it was. I don't think you needed to pay him like a top receiver. I understand what the Patriots are doing with Welker. A couple years removed from major reconstructive knee surgery. Wrong side of 30. Plays a spot on the field, slot receiver, where you take a ton of hits, right? And I just think you have other pieces in the offense. But this is why. Like, that series today, whatever it was, like, somewhere midway through the first half, where Welker just got blown up a couple of times, right? I think it was the third drive of the first half for the Pats. So check it, fourth drive of the first half for the Pats. Their second to last one, the one where they ended up settling for the field goal instead of going for it on fourth down like I wanted them to. That drive. That's why Welker doesn't want, and that's why players don't want the franchise tag slapped on him, right? Like, he's well compensated for 1 year. And it's hard to sit there and complain about $9 million or $9 million plus, whatever it is. But that's why players don't like it. Because Welker got obliterated on a few different plays. He's limping off the field. As LePan said, he had trouble breathing. And, you know, I tweeted that out at the time. It's just like, I know what the Patriots are doing, and I agree with it. But that's why Welker wants guaranteed, or at least more security in terms of years. That's why no one wants to play under the franchise tag. Because that hit that he took could have ended his year. 508-298-0398. Let's go to Patrick in Brooklyn. You're next up here on the Sunlight Patriots postgame show. Hey, Patrick.
Adam, how are you?
Doing well.
Good. A couple of things. I think one of the things that jumps to mind when you look at the type of losses they keep having, you begin to see a pattern where the team has a lead, in this case a 10-point lead, and in other games they have double-digit leads and they keep getting squandered. And it really comes down to, in my mind, a couple of things. Bill Walsh always preached fourth quarter pass rush. And you see New England, when they really need the pass rush, you don't see it. And then their four-minute offense has been a failure. Lots of times when they need to salt the game away with a run, they don't seem to be able to do it. I think Brady had a horrific game with some of his throws, and I think the wet balls affected him. And I think on the play to Rice where he got the touchdown, although he did get behind the safety, I thought that that play took a long time to develop, and the lack of a pass rush in a critical situation just goes to show that New England really has to figure the pass rush out. Even the touchdown to Braylon Edwards on fourth down. So every big spot where the defense had to do something, that they couldn't do it. And I think Chung, I think we're all beginning to realize he's really not that good of a safety.
Well, not in pass coverage. And Patrick, thanks for the phone call. 508-298-0398. Like, in other words, I think he's okay in the box against the run. Not going downfield. He takes some awful angles. We saw it last week. We said it last week. He was on my bad list last week. And I thought before he got hurt in this game, he played poorly back there. It's a good point, though, by the caller. The pass rush I thought was okay today, but similar to the offensive line, it's like when you needed it, where was it? Like Chandler Jones, I feel like this will be my one criticism of Chandler Jones, and I've been very complimentary of him really since the draft. I didn't like the pick at the time, but since we've gotten to see him on the field, I've been nothing but complimentary of Chandler Jones. Here's the one thing I'll say. It feels like there's a drive every game where he just dominates, and then you kind of don't hear from him for the rest of the game. Like that,
he's unblockable for 5 to 7 plays, and then you don't hear from him.
But not only that, it's not like they're spread out, though. I feel like it's like 5 to 7 plays bunched up. That's the one thing I would say. And look, maybe that's the inconsistency of a rookie or whatever it is. And I'm not nitpicking the player. He's got 5 sacks. He had another forced fumble today. It's 2 or 3 on the year. I thought he played well today. All I'm saying is that I feel like when you go through, it's like there's always a drive, maybe 2 in every game where he just seems unblockable. And then you kind of just don't notice him for a while. That's the one thing I would say about Jones. And I would put that on youth. And I would put that on him being a young player who's raw. That's what I would put that on. Let's take another phone call here. Adam's in Fort Worth. You're next up here on Patriots.com. Hey, Adam.
Hey, Adam. How's it going?
Doing well.
Hey, like you were just mentioning, I think with Chandler Jones, but then it's a lot of the team in general, especially on defense, is the youth. And I think maybe, like you alluded to earlier, it's not really the scheme, but just execution. And I think a lot of these guys being young, I think they're still trying to soak this stuff up. I mean, certain things like Chung. This is his, 4th year, I think, and, you know, there's no excuse.
He's a rookie in 09, so, yeah.
Yeah, so going on 4th year, yep. No excuse for him being lost in covers like that. And, you know, I really do think Hightower, even though he's a rookie, I think he makes a big difference. And then, like, I think another caller alluded to it, just to touch on a third thing, is the O-line seems to do fine early in the game, but then as the situation gets more and more dire, it's just like their pass protection and stuff like that just breaks down completely. It's like they piss their pants, to be honest with you. I don't know what happens to them late in the game. Same thing as in Baltimore. They had a lot of blocks, you know, stuff like that, where guys just come in unblocked. And you know, 3rd and 8, something like that, to where if we get a first down, it could ice the game or potentially set us up for a game-winning field goal or a touchdown.
Well,
and they just fail to make the block.
Well, I will say, and Adam, thanks for the phone call, 508-298-0398. I do think the last 2 weeks – and maybe it's because the Patriots have been up a little bit bigger in the games. It's not as noticeable. But in the Buffalo game and last week as well, I think we saw Brady DeWelker close games out. Like, I think when the other team had a chance to work their way back into the game, be it the Buffalo game or the Denver game, I think Brady DeWelker closed things out when the other team had a chance to come down and get back into the game. So I do think the offense iced it the last 2 weeks. They had a bigger lead. It wasn't a one-possession game. But those were big jobs by the offense to close things out. Now, I've singled those out on the post-game show these last couple of weeks. Still see a ton of you hanging out on the phones, 508-298-0398. We get to you momentarily, I promise. But let's head to the podium and hear from Patriots head coach Bill Belichick following his club's 24-23 loss in Seattle, which drops him to 3-3.
Just all the way across the board, everybody involved in the game, just none of us did a good enough job. So the result was what it was, just not good enough.
What happened at the end of the first half?
Got called for intentional grounding. It was a 10-second run.
Well, first of all, why did you decide to run a play? And then how do you get caught in that situation? Why not just take the automatic 3?
Yeah, when we were trying to score.
Yeah. Play with defensive backs? A lot of long passes given up.
Nothing we did today was good enough. On offense, defense, special team, coaches, players, everybody involved in the game. Just wasn't good enough. We all made mistakes. We had our chances. We just didn't do a good enough job.
What do you discuss some of the missed opportunities today?
We missed a lot of them. We missed them the whole game.
Was there much or any discussion about going for 6 seconds left? I don't remember myself being called timeout. Is that just an automatic, we got enough time, let's run one and go? Or?
We had time to run a play and kick a field goal, yeah.
Breakdown.
It was a 10-second runoff. We got an intentional. We had an intentional grounding penalty, and it was a 10-second runoff. There was 1 second left to go. We didn't do a good job collectively. We just didn't do a good job on that play.
Obviously,
if you knew the answer, you'd fix it. But, I mean, any feel for why this team hasn't been able to sort of put a team away when things have a chance this year? We just didn't play well the whole game today, so. It was the end of the game. It was the first half. It was the second half. It was, we played in spurts. We just didn't play well enough. We had too many chances we didn't take advantage of.
Not be able to finish off some of these games because you guys are normally so good at situational football, things like that.
It's disappointing to lose any game.
Your thoughts on Russell Wilson?
Oh, they played better than we did today, so congratulations to the Seahawks. Pete, they did a good job. They outplayed us today. Outplayed us, outcoached us. They're better than we were.
How deep were you going into your roster? It seemed like it was almost like a battle of attrition there. You had some players at the end of the game that hadn't played earlier in the game.
We have the same number of players that they have in every game, so it's football.
You know the status of Patrick Chung?
Are any of the players yet?
No.
What did you think, Aaron?
I think everybody that played in this game could have played better, could have coached better, could have done a better job. I think everybody's got certainly missed opportunities and have plays they would like to have back and could have played better or coached better.
Do you feel prepared to this game?
We just didn't execute the things that we needed to do to win, obviously. And that goes for all of us. So it just wasn't good enough by anybody. Starting with me, the assistant coaches, everybody else in the organization, the players. Just as a total team, we just came up short. We just got to do better.
All right, so that's Patriots head coach Bill Belichick at the podium following his club's 24-23 loss in Seattle. I've said this a few different times. Like, this is completely the way I feel about it. This one just feels different than some of those other losses we've seen in the past. Like, I don't remember coming in here a lot and feeling like you got beat by someone of Russell Wilson's ilk. Like, I don't feel that way. So that's why this one feels different. You could tell Belichick was frustrated. The highlight there, I would say, was the Q&A. I couldn't tell who the reporter was, but the Q&A that Belichick had there, basically asking what happened at the end of the first half, we're trying to score, is what Belichick said. And I love the answer from Belichick, and I'm paraphrasing here, but basically, well, what happened? What was the breakdown? And Belichick goes, well, you know, we had enough time to run a play. We had an intentional grounding, 10-second runoff. He just refused to answer it. And I'm telling you right now, I think Belichick's going to get crushed for that, and I didn't have a big issue in terms of the coach going for it there. Like, that's poor execution on the field. Like, Brady can't take a grounding there. You got to block better. Someone's got to get open. But that, to me, is the execution on the field. I didn't have a problem with going for it with 6 seconds left. Like, I was sitting here watching. I thought the Patriots, I wanted them to run another play. I have a bigger issue from a coaching standpoint with Belichick not going for it on fourth down, fourth and one, going completely soft. Fourth and one and settling for that field goal. Like, that's where I had a bigger problem from a coaching standpoint. My sense is Belichick is going to get crushed. He probably already is elsewhere. My sense is he's getting crushed for going for it and trying to force in another play before the half. I from a coaching standpoint, had zero problem with that. Zero. I would have gone for it the drive before. That's what I thought was more egregious. And I don't think it was their best day, right? You run out of timeouts. Where were the adjustments?
It is what it is.
I don't think coaching had their best day, but I just didn't have a huge problem with that particular play or that particular decision to go for it. The execution, again, was very poor. 508-298-0398. Let's go to Orange County. That's where Cam dials us up. What's going on, Cam?
Adam, if you could have heard me in the section at the stadium today about the 4th and 1, I would have been the loudest voice.
Were you there? Were you at the stadium?
I'm in Seattle back at the hotel right gotcha. Now, and I'm mortified. I don't know what to do with myself. This is ridiculous. The 4th and 1 was ridiculous. We had the opportunity to go for it. We could have sealed it right then and there. And it's a continuum. Every week, it's the same thing. And right now, I just don't get it. Okay? We're so much better talent-wise than what's being proven every week. It's unbelievable. We essentially have the same team, except revamped it a little bit more. And now McDaniels is in charge, and look what's happening. I don't get it. I don't get it.
Yeah, I mean, look, I think to criticize McDaniels is fine. I just think once we saw the last 2 weeks, the Buffalo game and the Denver game, it's like, all right, he knows what he's doing. I get it. And at some point you have to say, well, maybe it's above McDaniels, or maybe it is somewhat the personnel, right? Like, maybe they're just not fully healthy. Like, maybe the injuries with the tight ends are more significant than we thought. I think that's something to bring up when you're talking about Bill O'Brien versus Josh McDaniels. I think that's worth bringing up. Right now you have two dinged up tight ends compared to two healthy ones from a year ago. And I thought Hernandez played more than I expected today. I'm with Cam, though, and I think this is one that not necessarily is going to get a lot of publicity, but I thought that was bigger than Belichick and the Patriots deciding to go for it with 6 seconds left. I thought the decision not to go for it on 4th and 1 was a big one, and I agree with the caller. You could have iced the game right there. 508-298-0398. You can email us, webradio, at patriots.com. Tons to get to in terms of emails and phone calls. You guys are still hanging out on the lines. They're still full. We'll work our way through all those calls, and we'll get to Tom Brady at the podium next here on the Sun Life Patriots postgame show on Patriots.com.
It's Jim from Ace Ticket. An exciting Patriots season is here, and Ace Ticket is proud to be the official fan travel partner of the New England Patriots. Ace Ticket is your trusted source. We have the best seats at the lowest prices for all your favorite Boston teams. Ace Ticket is now selling Celtics and Bruins tickets to all games with free and easy pickup in Kenmore Square or right across the street from Boston Garden. Call 1-800-MY-SEATS or visit aceticket.com. 1-800-MY-SEATS.
My name is Terry, and not too long ago, I couldn't tell a first down from a touchdown, a flea flicker from a flea circus. But then, I got NFL Mobile from Verizon. I can watch every Thursday, Sunday, and Monday night NFL game live, right on my smartphone.
Nice call on the game yesterday, Terry.
I told you they couldn't stop the run. Plus, with access to NFL Network, I can watch highlights whenever I want.
Huge fantasy week. How did you know to start Mayo?
Woman's intuition, I guess. And with NFL Red Zone, I won't miss a touchdown on Sunday afternoons.
Up top, T-Mac.
You know it.
Offense is looking good, huh, Terry?
Good? They've been lethal in the red zone, Tim. Lethal. Rookie.
With NFL Mobile on Verizon 4G LTE, no one will know the game better than you. Call Star NFL to get it now. Verizon, official wireless provider of the New England Patriots. Airtime, message, and data rates may apply. Available on select smartphones. Coverage not available everywhere. Remember, don't call or text while driving.
Sullivan Tire and Auto Repair is teaming up with Bridgestone Tires for an offer that's going to make you and your family very excited. Now through September 30th, when you buy 4 select Bridgestone Tires at Sullivan Tire, you could receive a $70 American Express gift card or your very own Wii gaming system the whole family will love. See SullivanTire.com. Offer valid August 27th through September 30th, 2012. Mail-in claim form required. Cards issued by American Express Prepaid Card Management Corporation. Wii systems given away on behalf of Bridgestone America. Nintendo is not affiliated with this promotion. Certain limitations apply.
This is Rob Gronkowski. I get lots of mail from fans asking me how they can be more like me, Gronk. It's easy. First, just head down to Dunkin' Donuts and pick up a freshly made bakery sandwich. Second, get a sweet nickname. Third, bench press 225 pounds 28 times. That's it. You're just like me, Gronk. Now hurry into Dunkin' Donuts and grab a bakery sandwich today. Gronk runs on Dunkin'.
Price and participation may vary. New England Patriots and Patriots and related logos are trademarks of New England Patriots, LLC.
What would make your life better? Start with better banking from Sovereign Bank. More than a checking account, Better Banking is a package of financial solutions with preferred rates, debit card cash rewards, and online banking with Bill Pay, along with the flexible options you need to help make your everyday a little easier to manage. And now Sovereign is part of Santander, one of the strongest, safest, and most successful banks in the world. That's what we call Better Banking. Sovereign Bank. Member FDIC.
Want to be a Patriot season ticket holder? Join the Patriot season ticket holder waitlist and get in the game. Be first in line to purchase Patriot season tickets as they become available and receive exclusive access to the Patriots ticket exchange and other amenities such as access to playoff tickets, Gillette Stadium concert pre-sales, and much more. Get on the list. Get in the game. Visit Patriots.com/the list to join today.
I love,
love,
love this card.
With my Bank AmeriCard cash rewards credit card, I earn more cash back for the things I buy most.
Cash back for the things I buy every day.
I earn 1% cash back on every purchase, everywhere, every time.
2% on groceries.
And 3% on gas. Automatically, no hoops to jump through.
It's as easy as 1, 2, 3.
That's 1% cash back on a cut and color.
2% back on food for the neighborhood barbecue.
And 3% cash back on getting the kids to soccer practice and football and baseball.
Extra cash back on groceries and gas. That's my kind of card.
Earn 1, 2, 3% cash back for the things you buy most with the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards Credit Card. Apply online or at a Bank of America near you. Quarterly maximum on grocery and gas bonus rewards. To learn more, go to bankofamerica.com/getcashback.
Finally, a card for the real world.
Copyright 2012, Bank of America Corporation.
Welcome back to the Sunlight Patriots postgame show. Have an opinion on today's game? Call the Ace Ticket Hotline at 508-298-0398 or email the show at webradio@patriots.com.
Sunlight Patriots postgame show. Sun Life Financial can help you protect your financial security whether you're in the game or sidelined with an illness or injury. Talk to your employer about Sun Life benefits or visit sunlifeknowsbenefits.com to learn more. Get the benefit. Get to know Sun Life. Adam Jones with you here, live from our Subway Fresh broadcast studios inside Gillette Stadium. We'll get to Tom Brady at the podium coming up here in just a little bit. And I promise we'll work our way through all your phone calls. 508-298-0398. Tania, still waiting patiently. One email. And then I'll get to the phones here. And Keith writes into webradio@patriots.com. And I'm being genuine when I say this. He's become one of my favorite emailers on the show because he comes right at me. And he calls me out, which I appreciate. And Keith writes in, Adam, how can you not have Brady on the bad list? Brady's play was horrific today against the Seahawks when the defense kept giving the offense opportunities to score. And Brady screws up before the half with two intentional grounding calls and throws two picks in the game. The defense will eventually give up plays. Keep in mind, this defense is young. The offense is supposed to carry the defense. It just seems to me that Brady's lost that killer instinct to come back when down in the fourth quarter and under 2 minutes to go. He also adds, Adam, if Brady doesn't make the bad list because he played well in the first half and the defense doesn't need to go on the bad list either, the defense doesn't need to go on the bad list either. In other words, because they each had a good half. The game I watched, the defense held the Seahawks to 10 points until the fourth quarter, and Brady screwed up a field goal before the half, which could have been the difference. He also threw two picks, had several balls thrown into the ground. So again, stop with the double standard. It's really easy to pin this on the defense, grow some balls, and step up and put Brady on the bad list. I will say, I think there were times last year where I put Brady on the bad list like too much. Like I came in and sometimes I was like, oh, I was a little harsh. He's probably right. I probably should have had Brady on the bad list, and I acknowledged that earlier in the program, right? What I probably should have done, in retrospect, was lump the safeties and Arrington together and just said the secondary, then put coaching, and then Brady. So he's probably right. I probably should have Brady on the bad list, but I thought Arrington was so bad and safety play was so bad. I thought they were separate. So he's probably right. I said, I don't think Brady had a good day at all. I think he was a major factor in this loss. That said, it's a big reason why they were up. He played great in the first half.
But then,
right
when,
in the first half.
Then when they got pressure on him, there was little pressure on Brady in the first half. Played great. They started to pressure him in the second half. Completely different player.
But he's right. I mean, I don't want to treat Brady with the kid gloves. I think he played poorly. I've said that. In retrospect, I probably should have had him on the bad list. I probably should have. I probably shouldn't have separated Arrington and the safeties. My apologies. Probably should have had him on the bad list. You know, I screwed up. Brady should have been on the bad list, especially for how he played in the second half. I would have had him below the coaching decisions and below the secondary, But he's probably right. I probably should have Brady on the bad list.
Are you kidding me?
You can email us, webradio@patriots.com. I'm not joking, Bill. I did not think it was a good day from the coaches. You can weigh in on that as well. 508.
It's a joke.
298-0398. Your emails go to webradio@patriots.com. Just one other thought. Can we get over this running game thing now? Like, the reason the Patriots ran so well, and I think we on this show did a very good job illustrating this the last couple of weeks. You know, before the players even got to the podium, they ran well against sub-package defenses. That's what they did. And they didn't do that today. You know, Seattle, for the most part, they didn't have those lighter guys out there. Their secondary's big. You know, their safeties are built like linebackers. I think that showed in the running game today. Patriots can just plow them over. So, yeah, if teams are going to be in the nickel and the dime and put 5'8", 5'9", corners out there, and they're going to try to arm tackle, the Patriots are going to run on them all day. But when you get a bigger, more stout defense, you can't run on them. And I do think what we've seen out of the Patriots' run game, those numbers are a bit inflated. I'm not sure how improved they are in the running game overall. I certainly think they're better, but they're not this top five team or this elite running game in the NFL. I think that showed itself today. And that's sort of how I felt about it. I'm not saying, you know, they didn't run well. They had run well, but they had done it against sub-package defenses. When you line up against another team's base or at least against a bigger, more stout defense, they struggled to run the football.
Bolden looked good in his limited play.
Before he got hurt. You're right. It's a good point. Maybe that was a Ridley thing and not the backs and the offensive line. I will give Andy and Paul credit on this because I thought Ridley would have been better. They were all over it before the game. They didn't think the Patriots would be able to run on Seattle. So I will give them credit for that from the Dunkin' Donuts Patriots pregame social. Let's get through these calls. 508-298-0398. Brian's in Tennessee. You're next up here on Patriots.com. Hey, Brian.
Hey, I got a question for you, Adam. My question is the first thing is Coach Belichick talks about in his press conference about, oh, we got to work better on the coaches, got to work better as the players and stuff like that. But I think it all starts as far as Josh McDaniels goes. Last year, you really didn't see it about Coach O'Brien. And also, it's like every week we talk about the secondary this and secondary that, but it doesn't seem like they seem to be improving during their week of practice.
I think that's fair, Brian. I mean, I think that's something that you can hold Josh Boyer accountable for, or Belichick, or Matt Patricia, or whomever on defense. I do think that's fair. I think there were criticisms of Bill O'Brien last year. I remember them. I remember taking calls on this show. And I think there have been criticisms of Bill O'Brien. And honestly, I called out McDaniels a little bit earlier in the year just because he was new, you know, but now that we've seen him and it's like, oh yeah, this is what McDaniels does. I just think you have to remember that Belichick really ultimately calls everything, you know, or at least has final approval of everything. That's probably the better way of putting it. So if there's a bad offensive call or something you don't like, Belichick could have put the kibosh on it. They didn't have to run it if Belichick would have objected to it. So that's almost like everything that they run, Bill has signed off on some level. So I do think it's hard to really get on the offensive coordinators in that light, Brian.
Okay.
I appreciate the phone call, though. 508-298-0398. It's a good point on the defensive coaching. Like, maybe you don't have the personnel, but at the same time, can you coach these guys up a little bit? And I was right there with you guys the first 2 weeks of the year. I was so encouraged by what we saw out of the defense. And the secondary, I thought they looked better. But now it's 4 weeks in a row where they've struggled. So I know I come in here every single week and single out the secondary. This, you guys have to agree, is a low point. When Russell Wilson beats you, someone who's looked as poor as he has during the regular season, someone who's a rookie in his sixth game, when he comes down and beats you, that to me takes it to a whole other level. You know, what was the line that Bobby Valentine had earlier this year from the Red Sox? Like, if this isn't the low point, then we're going to have to find new earth. Like, that's sort of how I feel with the secondary right now. It's like, all right, if this isn't the low, how much worse can you get than what we saw today? Let's go to Matthew.
I have no idea.
Let's go to Matthew in Mississippi. You're next up here on the Sun Life Patriots postgame show. Hey, Matt.
Hey. You kind of hit on what I was thinking about with that, like Russell Wilson. How do you let Russell Wilson beat you with the game-winning throw like that? And why are you not, you know, keeping the receivers in front of you? Like, how's he back there? That's all I want to know. And they got to get more physical. I don't know. It's just not looking good, man.
No, it's not. And I do, and thanks for the phone call, Matt. I do think there's something to be said for what the email from Keith that I brought up, our emailer Keith who wrote in. I think there's something to be said when you look up at the end of the day, it's like, all right, they have 24 points. So I understand it. At the end of the game, I didn't think Seattle was going to score 24. Coming into the game, I didn't think they'd score 24. But I don't know. 24 is not a big number in the NFL. It's a decent number. I think it's a pretty bad offense to hang 24 points on you, but that's a decent number. And as he pointed out in his email, it was 10 halfway through the fourth quarter. So to get all over the defense and say they had an atrocious day top to bottom, I think that would be overstating it a bit. Because honestly, once he got Arrington out of the game, the defense settled down quite a bit. Dennard was in there for like two straight quarters, and the Seahawks didn't do anything. But it fell apart in the fourth quarter. That is a familiar symptom of what we've seen from this team. The Baltimore game is one that sticks out in my mind. It's like, I thought McCourty played pretty well in that game for three and a half quarters, and then the wheels just came off. And that's sort of how I feel about the defense today, or the secondary today, except it wasn't just one guy. It was a whole freaking thing. Let's go to Melvin in Tennessee. You're next up at 508-298-0398. Hey, Mel.
Hey, how you doing?
Doing well, man.
Well, I guess you kind of just hit on that. If it's not Arrington, if it's not McCourty, if it's the safeties 1 week, it's just, I think we have a backup plan for everything but the secondary. We have five tight ends. We've got a Olympic sprinter on IR, but we have no answer for this secondary. If I think that we can get that situation straight, that's going to determine how far this team goes. We really got to switch that around. I thought the front seven played well and the offensive line did. It's pretty good, I'd say, for a while.
I think for most of the game, I agree. Like, I think right. For most of the game, the O-line played, they came apart a little bit at the end, but, you know, they're already losing at that point. Like, they're already down at that point. The defense had already given up points. The offense already hadn't executed. I wouldn't say the offensive line was perfect today, and I think they showed some cracks at the end, but in general, they're not even close to something I'd focus on today. I think they were okay. In a tough environment, by the way.
Yeah. So, I mean, like I said, that was just my biggest complaint, I guess. I just think we need to have an answer for the defensive backs. Like, Arrington needs to get benched. I mean, like he did. I mean, there's just, I don't know. I think that needs to be some personnel changes out there in order to help this football team.
Look, I think we've seen that. I think we've seen that, Melvin, and thanks for the phone call. I think Belichick's sick of it. I think he's sick of it. And he should be. I know fans are. But I think he's sick of it. He benched Sterling Moore last week when he was getting picked apart, and he benched Arrington this week. So I think he's going to do that a little bit more. Now, LePan just wrote me an interesting note, and I wonder if we have a similar point. And we'll get back to the phone calls here in a second. I was just about to say this. Like, Mel just brought up the point where, well, they have all these backup plans on the roster. It's like they have 4 and 5 tight ends on this team, and I was just sort of thinking about it. Dennard was, I think, maybe I'm wrong. Like, maybe the coaching staff viewed him differently, but I think Dennard was on the roster bubble at the end of the preseason. And I think his last two games, he played his way onto the right side of the bubble. What if they kept 4 and 5 tight ends over him right now? You know, how would we feel about the secondary?
He was definitely on the bubble because he was hurt most of the preseason.
Well, I mean, that's what we think. I mean, again, I don't know how the coaches privately felt about him, but that's certainly what it appeared like from the outside looking in. We'll never know. But what if they cut him? He arguably might be their best corner right now. I know that sounds absurd after two games, but he's looked as good as anyone else back there at that spot. What if they cut him for a fifth tight end?
Well, here's my point. The Patriots have some interesting decisions to make in the coming weeks. You have Gronkowski, Hernandez, Fells, Omanawanui.
By the way, just because you mentioned his name, great catch today by Fells.
Oh, yeah, great catch.
And I think he's been all right in terms of a blocking guy. So what are they going to do when Shenko comes back is what you're going to say, yeah?
Well, Ballard, PUP, guess what's up after this week?
Yeah.
PUP.
But he's done, right? Like, you
don't
think
he's
coming back
this year.
But
I'm saying you have to make decisions. What if he is healthy enough to play and you don't want to IR him? Yep. And then Shenko, 2 weeks from now, you're looking at 7 tight ends.
Yeah, I mean, look, I think Ballard he's just done. I don't expect, from everything I've read, I don't expect him to come back. I know he's on PUP. Maybe he comes back, he practices a little bit. I fully expect him to go on IR. Shenko's an interesting point. Shenko's an interesting one. And I think it's pretty simple. If you think Shenko can come play, Omanawanui out. And that's your guy. I mean, I think it's pretty simple, but you're right. There are decisions to make, and maybe the coaching staff feels differently about Omanawanui than I do. But especially if he's hurt.
He's a McDaniels guy.
Especially if he's hurt like he is now, though. Like, I think that's a pretty easy one. Lop him off and stick Shenko on the roster. If Shenko's even healthy enough, we don't even know. Let's go to Bill in New Jersey. You're next up here on the Sunlight Patriots postgame show. Hey, Bill.
Hi, how are you?
Doing well.
Yeah, you got a great show, by the way.
Appreciate it, man.
I want to make 2 points, and I'll make them both together just for sake of brevity. Number one is it's an understatement to say that the secondary is terrible. But the question is, what can we do about it? Can we make some trades in the last minute to improve it? Because some of these guys are just not good enough. And my other point that I wanted to make is I'm concerned about the offensive line. I'm wondering if the reason why the offensive line is falling apart is because why we're losing in the fourth quarter is because the offensive line is falling apart. In other words, if these guys have bad conditioning, if Sebastian Vollmer always has his back problems and can't work out hard, and you have Logan Mankin.
And he's dinged up. Yeah, I was just going to say, it's a good point.
That's why they're going to get tired in the end, and that's why they can't protect Brady, they can't get the runs going, and that's why they're falling apart
well,
in the end. Those are my 2 points.
Well, it's an interesting point, especially that second one, Bill, and thanks for the phone call. In terms of how you upgrade the secondary, I'll just answer that one first. I have no idea. But in terms of trades, I know the trade deadline's been bumped back this year, so there is a bigger window to go get somebody, but I don't know what you do. I think it's week 8 now. I think is when it is. They backed it up a couple weeks. So there is more of a window to go get someone. I don't know if the Patriots do that, but maybe. On that other point, I think it's an interesting one because I think he's right. I feel like, and I guess I'd have to go back and listen to what we said immediately after some of these games, but I feel like this isn't the first time we've said what I said earlier tonight about the offensive line, where, well, they played pretty good for 3.5 quarters, just, you know, they played their worst at the end of the game. Maybe it's a good point. Like, maybe that is a conditioning thing. Or maybe Vollmer and Mankins are just too dinged up. Don't forget, they ran a ton of plays in that Denver game, but Mankins and Vollmer were out the last drive or two at the end of that game. And maybe some of it was how the speed they were playing. Maybe some of it is the coaching staff felt they were up enough to take them out. Same thing happened today. Like, those guys needed to be looked at. They need extra time. Maybe that is an issue. I tend to think Skarnecchia does a good job getting those guys in shape. So maybe conditioning isn't the right word for it. Maybe it's just those guys are too dinged up. And at the end of the game, it shows the most. You know, after you've had 2.5 hours or 3 hours of wear and tear on your calf and your hip if you're Logan Mankins, or on your back if you're Sebastian Vollmer, maybe that's where you feel it the most. It's an interesting point. Let's get back to the phone calls momentarily. 508-298-0398. Your emails go to webradio@patriots.com. We'll get to all of it, I promise, but we got to get to the podium and hear from Patriots quarterback Tom Brady following his club's 24-23 loss in Seattle.
On the intentional grounding.
Yeah, I mean, I know why you threw it away at the end, but obviously
yeah.
You want to get rid of it quicker. What wasn't there? And when it came down to it, it seemed like you had no choice. I mean, first of all, with 6 seconds enough time.
You know, we thought we could, you know, take a shot at a touchdown there. And, you know, I just got to throw the ball away a little bit closer to one of our guys. I think that's what it comes down to. So it's tough to give up 3 points. You know, we got a fortunate break on the, you know, muffed, you know, punt snap. And just, you know, that's why we lose games, because you squander opportunities to score points.
You had to look at the sidelines for that much time. Were guys covered? And you're not trying to throw over the middle, right?
You know, we had, you know, some different options on the route, and, you know, some guys were breaking inside. I just, you know, threw it a little too far over the middle. I just should have thrown a little more to the outside.
Are you stunned that with the level of execution you had and the opportunities that were out there to close it out?
Well, I think we've just got to do a better job, you know, when it counts. I think that, you know, we moved the ball up and down the field. You know, a lot of guys are making plays. A lot of guys made some really great plays. We just, you know, you have opportunity to score points. You know, we have interception in the end zone on the throw to Wes. You know, we're driving the ball and throw an interception to Sherman up the seam. And, you know, we make a play there at the end of the half to squander 3 points. And then you lose by 1 point. And you know, a lot of things that we could have done better that, you know, so we're really not in that situation. So, you know, we have to do a better job. Certainly, I have to do a better job.
Is there any, like, thoughts of maybe you should take the three? Because I know you hate taking three. You always, I want to get seven. Is there any point where you're like, we should maybe, even with that 6 seconds, you're like, okay, let's get the three because three is still points on the board?
Sure, yeah. But I mean, that's my responsibility to take care of the football and do some good with it. I mean, when the play comes in from the sideline, certainly they're not thinking that, you know, we're going to have intentional grounding. You know, they're trust me to be smart with the ball and to get three at worst. And, you know, I just made a bad play.
Now with the defensive pressure that they just put on you, does it feel more like things that they did or things that you didn't do?
Well, they're a good defense. I mean, there's no doubt about it. I think they can rush the passer. They've been doing that all season. They cover well. You know, we had quite a few yards. You know, we moved the ball up and down the field at times. Just, like I said, really squandered some scoring opportunities. And you know, that was what the game came down to. You know, you come down to a one-point game and opportunity in the red area for a touchdown. We had a few other opportunities for put points on the board, and we just didn't do it.
Tom's team starting to show us a tendency not to be able to really put their foot on the gas at the end of the game and put a team away. How do you fix that this far into the season then?
Well, we did it last week against Denver. So I thought we, you know, we made some plays there at the end of the game last week to do it. You know, we just didn't do it this week. So, you know, we're 3-3. You know, obviously it's not a very good record. You know, played some tough games on the road. We've showed a lot of, toughness, and we just have to execute better. I think that's what it comes down to.
So what adjustments were made, do you think, from Seahawks' perspective in the second half defensively?
I'm not sure. I'll have to wait and see the film. I'm not sure.
Is that a learned skill, closing out games? Because obviously you played, you know, 6 feet now. There's times when you close out with no problem. There's times when you deal with a new group here where this game we've been pointing to and say they had an opportunity to close it out offensively. Is it a learned skill, that mindset?
You know, we talk about it and we try to execute it. And, you know, today we just didn't get it done. So we had some chances there. You know, with the ball and opportunities, we had one first down. We just needed another one, and we didn't get it. So, you know, you give them the opportunity. They return a, you know, punt to midfield, and they make a great play on the touchdown, and we have a chance, and we don't do anything with it. So, you know, I thought we squandered quite a few opportunities today, and certainly we all have to do a better job. And it starts with me.
There seem to be as many or maybe more mental mistakes as physical mistakes, which when you talk about the Patriots, seems both rare and unusual. Is my perception wrong, or if not, what do you think the reason for that is?
I'm not sure, you know, the mental mistakes. I mean, I think the play there at the end of the half was a mental mistake. You know, I think that's football, you know, you make mistakes in the game. It's certainly not a game of perfect, but I think you have to overcome whatever mistakes you make and do enough to win the game. And, you know, today we didn't do enough to win the game. So, you know, it's, believe me, it's very frustrating. We played some very good football today at times. Obviously, it's just not good enough over the course of a game to come out, you know, on the winning end.
You've said in the past that you don't want to be slammed at 60 times a game. I think you were near that number today. If that's the case, is that usually a bad sign for the offense?
I think we had a lot of plays today. This is a team that really forces you to throw the ball based on, you know, some of the schemes that they play. But, you know, whatever we do, we have to do it effectively and efficiently, whether that's run it or throw it. And we had some real good run plays in there. You know, we had some good pass plays in there. You know, I thought there was just more in the running game and there was more in the passing game that we didn't have. And, you know, that's why you come up 1 point short.
Tom, much has been made this week about this being your first time playing in Seattle, and you made some comments earlier this week about the crowd. What did you notice about the crowd today? Did it influence anything at all?
Well, you know, the opponent was the Seahawks, so it wasn't, you know, the crowd or the weather or the refs. It was the Seahawks, and, you know, we lost to a good football team, and they certainly play well at home, and, you know, we had an opportunity, and we just didn't take advantage of it.
How would you rate this defense among the defenses you've faced so far?
Seattle's?
Yes, sir.
I mean, they're a good defense. I think they really force you into making good plays. And when we made them today, we did a good job. And when we made bad plays, you know, they take advantage of them. So they have a good secondary, a good pass rush. They're obviously a very good team, and they're playing well.
Final question, guys? There are a few on the throws in the second half. How big a factor did the weather play in that?
You know, you know, I wish I just executed better, tell you the truth. I don't think about the weather much. You know, I just try to go out there and do my job as best I can. And obviously the throws that were underthrown, I wish I did a better job, you know, putting it where the guy could catch it. Thank you.
It's Tom Brady at the podium following his club's 24-23 loss in Seattle. I'll tell you what, some real softball questions up there, LePan. The weather?
How was the weather in the crowd, Tom? You didn't throw two picks in the end zone.
Who are those softies in Seattle asking those questions? Like, Jesus. Anyway, Brady, to me, that play at the end of the half is more on Brady than it is on the coaching. Like, I have a problem with going for it. And Belichick was right. You can run a play in 5 seconds and get the ball. They ran it in four. Like, they showed the highlight, and Fouts said it on the broadcast when he was focusing, that, you know, they should have put another second on the clock. If there wasn't, now, when they threw the flag for the intentional grounding, then obviously you have the 10-second runoff, but they should have done it in 4 seconds and had 2 seconds left. So I didn't have a problem with going for it there. That's more on the execution. And it's hard to put all that on Brady. Like, if the guys don't block for you, you got to just put the ball up, right, and just get rid of it, because you can't take a sack there either, because the half runs, the time runs out on you. So it's a tough spot for Brady. They didn't protect him. That was more on the execution.
I don't get why they don't do what they did on their first touchdown more. Just lob it up into the corner. Let Hernandez or Gronkowski
on the Hernandez touchdown, the second one, not the Welker one.
Yeah, sorry.
The second one, yeah.
Either way, you know, hindsight's 20/20. You look at the play on the grounding. Yes, there's pressure. Gronkowski's standing in the corner of the end zone.
I mean, I agree.
All by himself.
I will say, though, there was another time, and I can't remember what it was. It was either late second half or early, late first half, rather, or early second half. I forget which. I believe it was early second half. Brady just forced one into Gronk. It should have been picked. And, you know, his first pick was the same thing. He's locked onto Gronkowski.
Oh, the one that was behind Gronk?
Yeah. 508-298-0398. Let's work our way through a couple more phone calls here. Sean's in Florida. You're next up on the Sunlight Patriots postgame show. Hey, Sean.
Hey, fellas. A couple of weeks ago, I was, you know, cooking myself some nice tasty burgers on my range here. You know, this week I don't even have the stomach for it. It's the same exact loss, the same exact kind of point as it was with Baltimore. And it comes down to it. It's just like I said before. You know, I don't know what's going on with Tom, but regardless as to how good he is compared to all the other quarterbacks in the league, and I think he's still in the top one, two, or three guys, that it factor, that whatever that thing was that made it so that everybody seemed to just know he was going to make the right choice, or at least get you in position to get a field goal or something, it's been gone for a lot of years, and we keep pretending like it hasn't been. You guys made a point last time. You said that, oh, he had this big game against Dallas where he brought him back, and they won that game, and it was a big game. I'm telling you, that Dallas team didn't go to the playoffs. So it wasn't a big game, and it wasn't a good game. When it gets down to it, against a good team, a good opponent, somebody that's going someplace or a big game, he hasn't done anything since 2005. That's a fact. And
well,
he's just going to stop resting on those laurels at a certain point.
Well,
I'm a huge Pats fan. But
no, I mean, Sean, I believe it. And I don't mind criticizing Brady. I don't know that it's fair to say he hasn't done any of those since 05. I mean, I think he did it to an extent last week. I mean, they held on to the football and closed out Peyton Manning last week. You know, so
yeah,
they had a pretty large.
That goes to some of the other points of the football team too. Well, like,
sure, but I mean, but
huge chunks of yards and stuff like that. That's a whole other.
Yeah,
thing.
That whole up tempo game plan is Brady.
That, but they weren't going so up tempo at the end of this game, especially with all that crowd.
No. I'm just saying. I don't disagree that Brady. He hasn't been making plays at the same level at end of games that he was early in his career, but I wonder how much of that is just it evening out. You know, how much of that is just, look, I'm not saying Brady was lucky early on, but maybe the way it was all bunched together in his career, you have to figure in most situations, you're not going to be too much better than 50%, right, with the game on the line, and it seemed like every time early in his career he won. So I think some of that is the numbers evening out, and I think some of that, too, is now they kind of blow teams out. And I don't know, I thought he did a nice job icing the Bills game on that third down play I cited to Welker, and the same thing last week against Denver. They didn't do it today. And I told the Pan I felt good about them doing it when they got the football back. They didn't. And trust me, maybe I was too soft on Brady right after the game. I probably should have had him on the bad list. I agree with the emailer. But to say he hasn't done anything in tight spots against big teams since 05, I think that's too harsh. I understand Sean's not the only Patriots fan that feels that way. I don't feel that way. And honestly, and maybe I'm wrong about this, if you're in the same spot they were in today in a playoff game, the Super Bowl, down with a minute 15 left, and all you need is a field goal, I trust Brady to go get it. Like, I do. And maybe I am resting on his laurels, but I just trust him to go get it. Maybe I'm wrong. Let's go to Robert, New Jersey. You're next up here on the Sunlight Patriots postgame show. Hey, Robert.
Oh, how you doing?
Doing Hello. Well.
Hello.
Hey, Robert.
Yeah, fine. Couple points. Number one, it seems that Belichick has a tendency, went ahead in the final minute or two, to go into a prevent offense. In other words, he's playing not to lose. just one first down.
Okay, but Robert, and I don't mean to jump in, but I've heard a lot of other people say this. They did it last week. Like, they passed when they were ahead last week against Denver. And
they ran the first two times in this series.
Well, no, in this game, yes. I mean, I think you're right today. They went into a prevent offense today, and I think they did that as well against Arizona. I think we've seen them do it in other games, but I think the last 2 weeks leading into this, I think they were pretty aggressive. So I guess my only point is I don't think it's been a season-long thing.
I don't think they were aggressive in that last series.
No, they weren't. I agree. I just don't think it's been a season-long thing.
You had negative yardage. And you run him two shots in there, you know he's not going to pick up anything. You know what they're looking for. They know that you're trying to kill the clock, and you're going to give the ball back to them. And that's exactly what we did. We don't have a defense to give the ball back to anybody. And another point on defense, and that last series for Seattle,
yep.
Everybody knew what was going to happen. He was going to throw the ball in the end zone. You know you don't have coverage people. Why do you have four down linemen putting pressure on a quarterback that can't put pressure? You're going to have to bring some type of blitz scheme. You can't allow that man to sit back there and wait for a 50-yard play pattern to develop. And you don't have the people to cover. And you're going to lose the game, and that's exactly what happened. He believes in reactionary football. He doesn't believe in causal effect. In other words, you've got to shorten the time with that quarterback. You can't allow a pattern to develop that takes that amount of time for 50 yards, which was the ball game. It was very predictable what was going to happen.
Well, Robert, I disagree with that, and thank you for the phone call, 508-298-0398. I think if it's another quality quarterback across the line, that would have been a predictable outcome. I would agree with you. I didn't think Russell Wilson was going to lead him down the field. I didn't think a rookie in his sixth game who looked as bad as he did for three quarters and as bad as he's looked for the start of the year. You know, I just didn't expect it. By the way, Carolina shut him down last week. I know they won, but like Carolina shut him down. Carolina. So I don't know. Maybe I'm wrong about this. Maybe I'm in the minority on this too, but I just, if you're telling me it's Eli or Breeze or Rodgers or Peyton or Roethlisberger or somebody like that leading a game-winning drive, I believe it. I would feel awful about the defense out there. I didn't think Russell Wilson was going to do it. And that, to me, it's like, how bad is this defense when that's happening with that quarterback on the other side of the line? More phone calls coming up, 508-298-0398. Your emails go to webradio@patriots.com, and we go around the AFC East next on the Sunlight Patriots postgame show here on patriots.com.
It's Jim from Ace Ticket. An exciting Patriots season is here, and Ace Ticket is proud to be the official fan travel partner of the New England Patriots. Ace Ticket is your trusted source. We have the best seats at the lowest prices for all your favorite Boston teams. Ace Ticket is now selling Celtics and Bruins tickets to all games with free and easy pickup in Kenmore Square or right across the street from Boston Garden. Call 1-800-MY-SEATS or visit aceticket.com. 1-800-MY-SEATS.
My name is Terry, and not too long ago, I couldn't tell a first down from a touchdown, a flea flicker from a flea circus. But then I got NFL Mobile from Verizon. I can watch every Thursday, Sunday, and Monday night NFL game live, right on my smartphone.
Nice call on the game yesterday, Terry.
I told you they couldn't stop the run. Plus, with access to NFL Network, I can watch highlights whenever I want.
Huge fantasy week. How did you know to start Mayo?
Woman's intuition, I guess. And with NFL Red Zone, I won't miss a touchdown on Sunday afternoons.
Up top, T-Mac.
You know it.
Offense is looking good, huh, Terry?
Good? They've been lethal in the Red Zone, Tim. Lethal. Rookie.
With NFL Mobile on Verizon 4G LTE, no one will know the game better than you. Call Star NFL to get it now. Verizon, official wireless provider of the New England Patriots. Airtime, message, and data rates may apply. Available on select smartphones. Coverage not available everywhere. Remember, don't call or text while driving.
Sullivan Tire and Auto Repair is teaming up with Bridgestone Tires for an offer that's going to make you and your family very excited. Now through September 30th, when you buy four select Bridgestone Tires at Sullivan Tire, you could receive a $70 American Express gift card or your very own Wii gaming system the whole family will love. See SullivanTire.com. Offer valid August 27th through September 30th, 2012. Mail-in claim form required. Cards issued by American Express Prepaid Card Management Corporation. Wii systems given away on behalf of Bridgestone America. Nintendo is not affiliated with this promotion. Certain limitations apply.
This is Rob Gronkowski. I get lots of mail from fans asking me how they can be more like me, Gronk. It's easy. First, just head down to Dunkin' Donuts and pick up a freshly made bakery sandwich. Second, get a sweet nickname. Third, bench press 225 pounds 28 times. That's it. You're just like me. Gronk. Now hurry into Dunkin' Donuts and grab a bakery sandwich today. Gronk runs on Dunkin'.
Price and participation may vary. New England Patriots and Patriots and related logos are trademarks of New England Patriots, LLC.
What would make your life better? Start with better banking from Sovereign Bank. More than a checking account, better banking is a package of financial solutions with preferred rates, debit card cash rewards, and online banking with bill pay, along with the flexible options you need to help make your everyday a little easier to manage. And now Sovereign is part of Santander, one of the strongest, safest, and most successful banks in the world. That's what we call better banking. Sovereign Bank, member FDIC.
Want to be a Patriots season ticket holder? Join the Patriots season ticket holder waitlist and get in the game. Be first in line to purchase Patriots season tickets as they become available and receive exclusive access to the Patriots ticket exchange and other amenities such as access to playoff tickets, Gillette Stadium concert pre-sales, and much more. Get on the list. Get in the game. Visit patriots.com/the list to join today.
I love,
love,
love this card.
With my Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card, I earn more cash back for the things I buy most.
Cash back for the things I buy every day.
I earn 1% cash back on every purchase, everywhere, every time.
2% on groceries.
And 3% on gas. Automatically, no hoops to jump through.
It's as easy as 1, 2, 3.
That's 1% cash back on a cut and color.
2% back on food for the neighborhood barbecue.
And 3% cash back on getting the kids to soccer practice and football and baseball.
Extra cash back on groceries and gas. That's my kind of card.
Earn 1, 2, 3% cash back for the things you buy most with the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. Apply online or at a Bank of America near you. Quarterly maximum on grocery and gas bonus rewards. To learn more, go to bankofamerica.com/getcashback.
Finally, a card for the real world.
Copyright 2012, Bank of America Corporation.
This is Patriots kicker Steve Gostkowski, and you're listening to the Patriots postgame show with Adam Jones on Patriots.com radio.
Tell you what, decent day out of your kicker today. Didn't mention him. But with this, the kind of season that Gostkowski's been having, a nice bounce-back day for him, because we've seen some struggles out of Gostkowski this season. Hit on what? All three of his field goals in this one today? So, single him out a little bit. 508-298-0398. Emails go to webradio at patriots.com. Let's check some emails here. Writing into the program to webradio at patriots.com. Here's one I've kind of had dog-eared for a little while. And subject line from Pete, absolutely livid. I don't mean to poke fun or laugh. It's just a funny subject line. I can understand Patriots fans feeling that way when it's Russell Wilson beating you. Again, I get Eli Manning doing it. I get some of these other elite guys doing it. Russell Wilson to me just feels different. Maybe I'm wrong, but feels different. Pac-Man, writes Peter, Patriots dominated this game. Dominated in almost every way imaginable until the absolute collapse late in the game. We got nothing out of Ridley. Bolden was a reliable workhorse until he went out. And we had to wait until Woody was productive to even think of running. Brady threw 58 times, 58. And we're not the Lions. That's not how Brady wins games. It's a formula to lose games. It kills drives, fails to eat the clock, and the perfect recipe to lose all momentum. This is by far the worst coaching game in Bill Belichick's career. Horrible clock management, mismanaging timeouts. Patchett has scored 30-plus in the first half. However, whatever magic that was holding the Seahawks to three and outs, with the occasional long, fluky play, I can live with that. But the last two drives on defense were inexcusable from the secondary. We had a brief glimmer of dominance once Dennard replaced Arrington in the base defense with some consecutive three and outs, but Ebner and Wilson, Tavon was great all game before that play, was garbage. Complete garbage. Brady was great till he threw the first two picks and the rain started to pour. Then suddenly, he channeled his inner Mark effing Sanchez. When it rains, it pours, and damn it, it poured today. I don't want to be revisionist because I was on curse words and we all agreed Pats were dominating. This looked to be on their way to a 20 to 30 point blowout. But the second half after the first few drives, man, it's hard to swallow. And again, that's Pete writing into web radio at patriots.com. I think it's how a lot of Patriots fans felt about this. It's how a lot of you felt about this. This should have been a blowout. It was a blowout. This game shouldn't have been close. And I thought coaching was poor. The secondary to me was the worst. Then coaching, then Brady. If I had to chunk them in order, that's how I'd do it. Secondary, coaching, Brady. I've already been called out for being too easy on Brady. I don't know. That's sort of how I'd chunk things.
Your boy's getting to you. You threw Brady on the bad list.
Well, no, I didn't. I didn't. I'm just saying, if I combine Arrington and the safeties, which I guess I probably should have done in retrospect. I just thought Arrington was so bad. I separated him out. So he's probably right. Chunk them together. Secondary, coaching, Brady. There's your list for today. At least mine. And he's right. Ridley couldn't run. And I'm not saying he's a bad back, or I'm not just saying because he had one bad game that we're going to pile on him, but I have said the last couple of weeks, I don't know how real this Patriots running attack is. When you're running against 5'8 corners, you know, like, some teams are going to be able to line up and stop you. And I sort of think that's what the Seahawks did today. Now, part of it, as the emailer noted, was the 58 pass attempts. The Patriots didn't want to run on them. They wanted to just throw it all day. And it worked for a half. But, you know, some of that's the game plan, too. Like, did that come back to bite them, as the emailer noted? And that's coaching. When you throw 58 times, I don't think that's all Brady. That's the game plan. 508-298-0398. Let's go to Usman in Riverside, California. You're next up here on Patriots.com. Hey, Usman.
Hey, the thing that really stuck out to me was, like, has Tom Brady become, like, the king of the intentional grounding penalty or something? Once in the Super Bowl last year.
Yeah, I mean,
today, like, I don't know what was happening.
Well, I'll tell you, some of that's the offensive line, right? Like, in the Super Bowl, that's a bad decision by Brady in the Super Bowl. And Usman, thanks for the phone call. I hear myself echoing in the background, so I apologize. I'm going to hang up on you here. The one in the Super Bowl, it's protection. I thought the one right before halftime was protection, and so was the other. I mean, like, obviously some of it's decision-making on the quarterback, but you have to protect him. And I think Brady's decision-making wasn't great all day, but in general, it's good. I think that's a strength of Brady's, his decision-making. When you have guys bearing right down on you and no one's open, what are you going to do, you know? Like I said, it's pick your poison. If Brady gets sacked, well, you're out of timeouts and all the time runs off the clock. If he puts it up out the back of the end zone, at least it's a judgment call on the referee. And I think they made the right call. There's no one even close to where that football was. But you don't want to turn it over. You can't take a sack. So he hucked it out the back of the end zone. And I know that's not ideal. But to me, that's more the offensive line than it is Brady's decision-making. And I definitely, on that specific play, I'd go O-line, Brady, then the coach and the decision to go for it. I had no problem going for it with 6 seconds left before the half. And again, my sense, Belichick's going to get crushed for that. I like the decision. I hated the decision more on the previous drive not to go for it on 4th and 1. I thought that was uber conservative. 508-298-0398. Your emails go to web radio. At Patriots.com. Let's check one more email here. And I disagree with this one. And this is our buddy Keith writing in again. And again, I encourage the emails. I like the way he thinks. It's very different from the way I think. But this one, I couldn't disagree with more. He writes in, Adam, Brandon Lloyd stretched out to make that catch at the end of the game and hurt his shoulder, and the catch was out of bounds. By the way, he caught it. It was an incredible highlight reel catch. He was out of bounds, though. But he physically caught the ball. He writes, you have to take care of your body and make the proper decisions when you sell out for plays and when to pull up, or know when to sell out for plays and when to pull up. That's why I didn't have a problem with Randy Moss, and shame on us for letting him go. I mean, I don't know. I'll take the guy who puts his body on the line with the game on the line over the guy who, you know, sulks and quits. And I guess I understand the point about being able to take care of your body. I guess I understand that point. But I don't know. I would much rather take a guy who sells out with the game on the line than someone like Randy Moss. I don't know.
Wow.
I guess
people have said a lot of wrong things on this show, but that might be the wrongest.
I guess we fundamentally disagree on that. But again, I encourage the emails. Webradio at Patriots.com. We know the Patriots fell to 3-3 with a 24-23 loss in Seattle. How'd the rest of the division do? Let's go around the AFC East.
It's time to go around the AFC East on the Sunlight Patriots postgame show with Adam Jones.
Patriots, we said, had a rough day. Rest of the division was up, though, today. I'll tell you, good day for the AFC East, starting with the New York Jets, their 35-9 win against the Indianapolis Colts. Sean Green, who knew? Monster day out of him. Career high, 161 yards, 3 touchdowns on the ground. Jets piled it up for 252 on the ground, 252 yards. Ground and pound there for Rex Ryan. Next up for the New York Jets, of course, New England Patriots here in Foxborough, 425 start. By the way, Sanchez threw it, I think, 18 times for 82 yards. Tebow had a throw on a fake punt.
Big day from the quarterbacks.
Can't throw 18 times in this league and beat the Patriots. You just can't. So I don't know. The Patriots did a nice job, by the way, in run defense today. I will say that's something they did well. So Jets aren't going to be able to run it like that. The question is, how bad is the secondary? And how is Sanchez compared to Russell Wilson? Because I think he had played similarly coming into today. I thought they'd both been bad. Turned it over more than they hadn't. And I don't know. Can Mark Sanchez make some plays against your defense like Russell Wilson did? You're shaking your head, LePan. Who was worse than Wilson coming into this one? Maybe it is Sanchez.
Mark Sanchez and Tim Tebow.
Well, I don't think the Jets are going to be able to run. I'll say that. But that's your next game, and all of a sudden that's a big one. The whole division's 3-3 after today, and we'll get to the other games in a minute. It's a big one. Not that Jets week is never big, but or never isn't big, rather, but 3-3 with the Jets coming in, you cannot slip up. And I don't think the Patriots will. I think Fireman Ed's going to be crying in his Cheerios. That's what I think.
I'll start Jets week with that.
But that's a big matchup all of a sudden. Instead of the Patriots being 4-2 and the Jets being a grease fire, all of a sudden, all right, well, that's a game for first place in the division with the Jets coming in here next week. So something to take note of, and the Jets got back to their ground and pound. I don't expect that to carry over against the Pats. They're going to have to beat them throwing. That's how I feel about it. But a nice win against the Colts, who scored a big win earlier in the week, or the week before, rather, against the Packers. Dolphins won again. It's two straight for the Miami Dolphins, everyone's favorite team from Hard Knocks. 17-14 win over the Rams. Greg Zuerlein missed the game-winning field goal from 66 yards. 66 yards. Jeff Fisher tried a field goal to win the game today. That is mind-boggling.
The dude would have been good from 70.
The kid had the leg. Yeah. I mean, that's the crazy thing. Like, that had the distance. He hooked it, missed three field goals on the day, had a bad day kicking the football. But distance-wise, kid could have made it from 66 yards out. So I guess you understand Jeff Fisher trying it from that regard. Like, if the kid has the leg, I guess I understand it. But nice win for the Dolphins. Ryan Tannehill has played well. He's played well. 185 yards, two more touchdowns, didn't turn it over. I don't think they're going to beat the Patriots, but again, is that an improving team at the bottom of the division? I think they've been poorly coached the last couple of years. Maybe there's something here. You know, maybe all of a sudden the coaching change and the change of culture down there, maybe they're on the right path. Again, I don't think to beat the Patriots this year, but all right, maybe they're building towards something, and that's something to take note of going forward in the division. That's what I'd say with them. Next up for the Dolphins, by the way, a bye week. Nice win going into the bye. And then finally, Buffalo ekes one out in Arizona. 19-16 win in overtime as the Bills improved to 3-3. Ryan Lindell with a game-winning 25-yard field goal. You look it over, it's like, who even played well on Buffalo today? And I guess this is a testament to that Arizona defense again. It's like, it's just Cobb is worse than Fitzpatrick. But I guess it's a testament to the Arizona defense. Fitzpatrick, 18 of 32, 153. No touchdowns, no picks, which for him is an accomplishment. C.J. Spiller, 12 carries, 88 yards and a touchdown. Fred Jackson, 16, 53 and a touchdown. It's like, you look it over, it looks like Stevie Johnson played all right, 6 for 82. And obviously their defense played okay. You know, they got after Cobb a little bit, 5 sacks, which is a nice number. But I don't know. I find that even though it's a convincing win,
or a
nice win, rather, over Arizona. Well, Kevin Cobb beat you, in fairness. Even though it's a nice win in Arizona, I'm just not sold on the Bills. I guess that's how I feel about them. But maybe if their defensive line is going to start playing, maybe there's someone to take note of. 508-298-0398. Your emails go to webradio@patriots.com. Let's continue to work our way through some of these emails. Kyle writes in, subject line, choking Patriots. I got to tell you, the subject line really reels me in on some of these emails. We have a billion of them. I'm not going to be able to get to them. I apologize for that. But you want to get read, subject line. Something along the lines of choking Patriots or I'm absolutely livid. Something like that reels me in. Kyle writes, two dumb moves by Brady in the red zone cost Patriots at least 6 points. That intentional grounding was beyond obvious. He should have learned from last year's Super Bowl about throwing near one of his guys. But apparently he didn't. Throw in the interception. And actually, that just jumped into my head, by the way. Brady's second intentional grounding, I would say, was more on him than the offensive line. He just threw it at an offensive lineman's foot. Like, that one you got to be more aware of. I'd forgotten that that was the situation there. The first one, I think he's in a tough spot. No one's open. You can't take a sack. So he tried to throw it away. At least that's a judgment call for a referee. You get sacked and time runs off the clock, and a judgment call. You throw a pick, and a judgment call. Now he continues. Throwing the interception where he needlessly bulleted a pass to Welker, who was all of 5 yards away, and to make matters worse, the ball was so high, Welker couldn't even pin it to his body for the catch. Brady's other pick was a bad decision. Branch is 5'10". He can't jump or out-jump a six-foot corner in his prime for that ball. I can't imagine what he's thinking or how he justifies that throw. On to play calling at the end of the game, writes Kyle. Run, run, pass. So obvious, and everyone in the stadium knew it was coming. Go play action on first down, if nothing else. Better yet, catch them off guard and throw it three times as opposed to running it. You know how this works, though. You throw an incompletion, and everybody goes, why are you throwing it on first down instead of bleeding the clock? So I do think there's some second-guessing there, but I tend to agree. In general, you want to be aggressive there. And I do think Belichick does think outside the box a little bit in those situations. I think he's more aggressive than a lot of coaches at the end of the game. Not today, but in general, I think he's more aggressive. I think going for it at the end of the first half sort of underscores that. Kyle Arrington writes, Kyle, what a joke. The way he consistently plays out there, the coaching staff is blind if they think Dowling and Dennard aren't as good as this guy. In fact, I'd expect the combo of Dennard and Dowling to be more competitive than McCourty and Arrington as starting corners. I will say this. You're shaking your hand or your head, LePan. I can't think of a lot of times where I looked at it and thought Dowling had a bad game. Like, normally I just didn't notice him, but there weren't a lot of times where I was like, man, Dowling really got torched in coverage. Now, granted, he's only played like three games with the Patriots, or started three games, two last year before he got hurt, and then this year. But there haven't been a lot of times where I've been like, man, he was bad out there. I just think you sort of don't notice him, which for a corner isn't bad. You noticed Arrington today. You noticed Sterling Moore last week. You noticed McCourty.
I don't think it's necessarily a bad thing. I actually kind of said the same thing while I was watching the game. But Dowling has consistently been left off the field by this coaching staff. You think they would have put him on there before, you know, before this point, if things have been as bad as they are? There's got to be something wrong with the reason he's not playing.
And I'll tell you, if Chung's dinged up, or if Gregory's dinged up, I try one of those two corners at safety. Or we know Gregory's dinged up if he continues to be dinged up. And if you're down those guys next week, you can't put Ebner on the field. You know, and
do you bump McCourty back like you did last year?
I guess that's a good point. I mean, I guess I hadn't really even considered McCourty. You're right. That's probably the first name I should have gone to. But one of those corners should go to safety, whether it's McCourty, try Dowling back there, try Sterling Moore back there. Remember, when he first came here, he was a safety. So I don't know. I'd try one of those guys back there before I try Ebner. I've seen enough of Ebner between the Buffalo game and this one where he gave up crushing touchdowns, or crushing today, and a bad touchdown at the end of the Buffalo game that is a blowout and you won, so maybe not everyone took notice, but bad play. He can't see the field as a safety. And he's shown that he struggles out there as a special teamer, too. You know, the guy's a sixth-round pick who didn't see the field at Ohio State. You know, I was impressed by what I saw in the preseason, but maybe we all got sucked into that a little bit. Just the end of Kyle's email here to webradio@patriots.com. Bottom line, whenever there's less than 5 minutes in the game and the Patriots are nursing a small lead, i.e. less than a touchdown, with the ball, I'm about ready to turn off the game because I know what's coming and I know the ending. The offense will still stall like they always do at the end. Mesko will have a crappy punt and the defense will let the other team waltz down the field for a score. It's the same story every single time. And I'm sick of it. Absolutely sick of it. The secondary seems to be perpetually bad. Whenever I see the quarterback wind up for a deep ball, I already know it's a done deal. It'll be a catch or a pass interference every single time. Bill Belichick should be ashamed of himself for coaching such a mentally weak team in all three phases of the game, among other things. End rant, Kyle. I'm telling you, emails like that get me every time. Subject line. What was it again? Subject line, choking Patriots. Subject line, I'm livid. That's how you get them read. That's how you get your emails read, folks. Web radio. At patriots.com. Henry writes in, Adam, when you throw the ball 60 times, the quarterback, regardless of who it is going to make bad throws and throw interceptions. And Brady's no exception. I don't know about the interceptions, but I agree with the bad throws part. I don't know. Like, I think Brady's decision making that whole second half was pretty bad. So, in other words, even if he only threw it 10 times in the second half, like, I just disagree with the premise. I get what you're saying. The more you throw it, the more prone you are to mistakes. I understand it, but I thought he was pretty good for a half and then awful in the second half. I don't think it was a volume thing, I guess. I think it was a one half to another half. Adjustments versus lack of adjustments. That's sort of how I felt about it. In other words, when you throw that many times, the law of averages start to come into play. Brady does deserve some criticism, but can the defense carry the team for once? Brady's been doing it for the past 5 years, which leads me to my main point. What's going on in the secondary? It's pretty simple. They can't run. For 2 or 3 years, great to bad quarterbacks torch the secondary. Seems like the plan of attack is the same. Run hard through the secondary. They can't keep up. First half in the Bills game, the Ravens game, the second half of the Broncos game, Fitzpatrick, Flacco, Manning, all just set up and launch bombs. I think when teams look at film, they see it. You can only do so much with scheme and making sure guys are in the right position. They are stuck with what they have. And again, that's Henry writing in from North Carolina. The just winding up and throwing bombs thing has to be terrifying for Patriots fans. Like, it has to be.
It's true, though. When you see the ball go in the air, you go, oh, boy, here we go again.
The emailers are right. He's not the first one to say it, but they're right. It's like, you know what's going to happen. It's going to be a pass interference or an illegal contact, or someone's going to come down with the football, and you just hope that they tackle him and he doesn't go into the end zone, right? Like Donald Jones did in the Buffalo game. Like, all you're going to do is wind up and throw it, and Patriots fans just know it's going to be a completion. That has to be the most frustrating thing of all. And you know what's going to happen. It's going to be a penalty or a completion. So I just think, in conclusion, I've been doing this for, what, a year and a half? Or, you know, since the beginning of last year? I wasn't on after the Super Bowl. I imagine that was rough. But, you know, I think this would be the next worst game. Like, I just think no one thought you were going to lose to Seattle. I don't think a lot of people expected them to lose to Arizona. But I feel like fans took that one better. Like, that was just like, all right, well, you missed a field goal at the end, and there were some more circumstances you could wrap your head around. Russell Wilson just drove.
They finished that game well. They didn't finish this.
That's
game
true
well.
Too. You're right. Like, they were out of that game. The offense got them back in it. They forced a fumble. They missed a field goal. You can just kind of blame the kicker there and explain that one away. And Baltimore, you lost to a good team on the road with a questionable call at the end. I think fans could wrap their heads around those. This one feels different. It feels different. And we talked to you throughout the course of the night. I apologize for not getting all the emails here. We were way overloaded. But we did get through most of your phone calls here on the Sun Life Patriots postgame show. As always, we appreciate the feedback. Continue to dial us up. Send your emails in. I will talk to you on the Dunkin' Donuts Patriots pregame social with Andy Hart and Paul Perillo leading up to Patriots and Jets next Sunday at 4:25. And I'll talk to you after as well on the Sun Life Patriots postgame show here on Patriots.com.
This has been the Sun Life Patriots postgame show with Adam Jones on Patriots.com radio. For more news, analysis, and reaction from today's game, tune into Patriots.com radio all week long. Next Sunday, the Patriots return home to take on the New York Jets. Kickoff at Gillette Stadium is set for 4:25 p.m. Be sure to tune in to the Dunkin' Donuts Patriots pregame social at 2 p.m., followed by the Sun Life Patriots postgame show immediately following the game. Log on to Patriots.com anytime for the most up-to-date news and information on your favorite teams.